tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Swimming in your lips, tasting infinity, a moment is all right, but I'd prefer eternity. I'm not sure unconditional love could handle you and me.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Wall Streeters seemed perched on cliff faces early this morning after the Bear Stearns collapse and fire sale of the weekend. End of the day, though, the Dow was up 21 points. While the NASDAQ and the S&P were both down, the panic had ebbed.
It was a day that tested the nerves of even the most veteran traders here on Wall Street, the Dow dropping nearly 200 points and then varying wildly throughout the day.
And we're just wondering what's going to happen.
Even the expected announcement of another interest rate cut by the Feds couldn't calm the jitters. In the end, the market overcame its anxiety, as it has repeatedly in the past months. Still, traders aren't willing to predict what will happen tomorrow. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Wall Street.
Some of Bear Stearns' shareholders have their lawyers working to pursue possible legal claims over the sale of the company to J.P. Morgan. Legal experts say it probably won't stop the deal. Wouldn't an economic stimulus check be nice about now? CBS's John Harchie.
If you get your tax refund by direct deposit to your bank account, that's how you'll get your rebate, and you'll get it in the first half of May. Otherwise, you'll get a check sent out according to the last two digits of your Social Security number. 00 to 09, the checks go in the mail May 16th. With payments gradually going out until the end of the line, socials ending in 88 to 99 will get checks in July. Check the IRS website for a calculator to estimate how much you'll get.
As of now, Democrats in Florida won't have a primary redo. Delegates to the convention won't be seated. CBS's Peter King is in Orlando.
Florida's Democratic Party came out with a proposal last week for a revote that would have involved mail-in and walk-in voting. They took the weekend to consider comments that came in via email from thousands of Democrats and have just sent out an email to Democratic supporters around the state saying there will be no revote.
Mega Brands is recalling Magtastic and Magnetics Junior preschool toys because some of the Chinese-made toys can lose their magnets.
Magnets found by young children can be swallowed or they can be aspirated, and that can be fatal.
Patty Davis from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Thou shalt not cuss on the radio or the TV. Unless it's unexpected, then it ought to be okay. That's the argument of broadcasters with the FCC at the Supreme Court.
The court wades in at a time when there are more and more expletives, especially on cable television, even during the day when children have access to television. So I don't think this is a slam dunk for the broadcasters.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Diddy. Sean Combs says it isn't so what the Los Angeles Times claims based on FBI records. That it was his people who were responsible for the robbery and shooting of Tupac Shakur in 1994 in New York. Combs says it's beyond ridiculous and completely false. That shooting triggered the East-West rapper feud that ended in the killings of Shakur and Notorious B.I.G. This is CBS News.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer, our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Looking to diversify your portfolio? It's time to start trading foreign currencies at Forex.com. In these financial times, diversification is key. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio beyond stocks and into the OTC foreign exchange market. Start trading foreign currencies 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. Go to Forex.com, open a free practice account today, and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade. Forex.com.
Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
Who says you got to be Irish to write an Irish song? Foley's Bar in New York said so, and banned Danny Boy, written by an American from that bar. In Michigan, they've been singing Danny Boy for 50 hours straight.
Hundreds of people have taken to the mic since Saturday to be part of the world record, singing, playing, or even just narrating the lyrics.
I thought enough of it to get up in the middle of the night and come over here, so it's exciting.
Once they've reached the 50-hour goal, organizers will hold a funeral for the song, presumably with an Irish wake.
Are you sick of the song yet?
No, actually I'm not, but at 5 o'clock I don't want to hear again.
Ron Dewey, CBS News, Detroit.
Someone has offered more than $50 for the Great Illinois Cornflake. A single cereal flake that happened to look like the state of Illinois almost made it into Emily McIntyre's mouth, but the sharp-eyed 15-year-old spotted it just in time, and dreams of eBay fortune began to form. And it's a frosted flake. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, man, is that a Garmin Nuvi?
Indeed. It came strapped with Bluetooth for hands-free calling. And I programmed it to make only left turns from now until Election Day. It's pretty cool, huh, buddy?
Turn left in 0.2 miles.
Yeah, brilliant. You do know that three left turns equals one ridiculously long right turn, right?
Recalculating.
Thank you, Professor B. Haydenstein. You've crushed my dreams completely.
Follow the leader. I'm Garmin Nuvi, and I approved this message.
Bluetooth not available on all models.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/smallbusiness. Business takes Visa.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, emanating from
Washington, D.C. Oh, there it is. I have to turn this thing up. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from Washington, D.C. I'm your humble host, and foolishly, they put me in charge of the electronics here. See that, Lavisa? I tried to turn up input, too. Welcome. We are at the Take Back America Conference, Radio Row in Washington, D.C. This is organized chaos, and we have been having a fabulous time today. We did the Tom Hartman Show on Air America earlier today, which was broadcast on many of these same great radio stations. And people like Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky from Chicago, a fiery progressive Democrat, she was here. We also talked with a brand new member of Congress. Her name is Donna Edwards from Maryland. And she is one of those progressives who won a signature victory in the primaries just a couple of weeks ago because she defeated an eight-term incumbent, a guy named Al Wynn, who voted for the war and who narrowly defeated Ms. Edwards in 2006. So I consider Donna Edwards to be a harbinger of good things to come. And those are just a couple of examples of who we've been talking with today. The Reverend Jesse Jackson has been making the rounds. We had a chance to share a conversation with him at the dinner table last night. And I'll share a brief story because we're waiting for Phil Donahue to join us here. He's on his way to Radio Row. So if you recall the recall campaign that unseated Gray Davis and gave us the Austrian-born action movie star as California's governor, right before the recall election, Jesse Jackson agreed to do an interview on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I said to Reverend Jackson, gee, why are you supporting Gray Davis? He's a failed governor. He is not progressive. He doesn't stand for any of the things that you have fought so hard for over the years. And in a moment of extreme candor, Jesse Jackson said, and I'll imitate his voice a little bit just for effect, he said, Gray Davis, he ain't nothing but a bump on a stump. So last night when I saw Reverend Jackson in the dining room, I went up and greeted him and reminded him of that story. And said that was one of the most memorable quotes or sound bites that has ever been delivered by a political figure like that in my presence. So it's a very interesting conference here. Very honestly, what we're seeing is the strong currents of both the Obama and the Clinton campaigns. And overlaying that is the great aspirations that progressives have for victories in the elections this year. And yet people are sobered by the reality of what's going on, the Republican machinery, the way Democrats infighting may be harming the potential of whoever wins the nomination to win against John McCain this fall. All of those issues are on people's minds, and I would say that they're discussing them in a frank and open way, but with love and respect as well. So it's very interesting to see these progressive currents come to into a kind of river here in Washington, D.C. at the Take Back America conference. Yeah, his name's Peter. Phil Donahue? Welcome.
Here's Peter.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Hi, Peter. Good to see you. Thanks for the invite.
So, Phil, I grew up in Cincinnati watching you on Channel 5 when you just started doing your daytime show. And I was trying to remember whether that was under Avco or Crosley Broadcasting.
Avco. We started with Avco.
Okay.
Crosley had already sold to Avco,
mm-hmm.
a defense contractor, by the way.
Yeah.
And we signed on in November of, as you know, in November of 1967,
yeah.
local show, Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
And beyond our wildest dreams, you know, we suddenly found ourselves a nationwide television program. We didn't plan it. We weren't smart enough to know why.
Yeah.
But we knew we had to be. We knew we weren't visual, you know. We had one guest. People sat on folding chairs in the audience. And we had no spinning wheels, you know, none of the usual razzmat. Come on down.
You know, well, but you were one of the first guys to pick up a cordless mic and go out and talk to people in the audience.
Well,
that was the visual, right?
Well, in 67, we didn't have cordless mics. And I used to run to the back, you know, and strangle three people in the front row. So, you know, the cordless mic was a big thing for us.
Breakthrough.
Yeah. I'm an analog guy in a digital world, Peter.
Well, but I remember a memorable comment of yours after MSNBC canceled your show right before, it was 5 years ago, right before the invasion of Iraq, because you were too dangerously liberal. And you said that it's hard to do PBS quality in an MTV world.
I did say that. being against the war was not good for business. In October 2002, which was the month, by the way, that both houses of Congress overwhelmingly gave Bush permission. They didn't obey the Constitution.
Yep.
Constitution says up or down, fellas. Up or down.
Hey, come on. It's just a goddamn piece of paper. That's what Bush said.
You know, they close their eyes and they give the president permission if he thinks he has to, and that's a CYA political maneuver that spares them the third rail of being on the wrong side of a war. It's amazing what a spineless Congress can do that allows a president to, as Norman Solomon says in a book, War Made Easy, if an American president wants a war, he can have one.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Look through history. It's true.
Norman Solomon's a good friend of ours, as is Jeff Cohen, who was one of the producers on the show that was canceled by MSNBC, and he told all in Cable News Confidential.
He did.
It's a great book. Yeah. Now, Phil, are you comfortably retired, or do you have to... we're going to talk about this film that you've co-produced, and my sense is that you're restless and that you have things to say and you're looking for a way to get out there.
Well, I want to be a player in the anti-war movement. I'm not ashamed to say so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of being a part of this effort. I've met a lot of nice people. People who've been out there alone, you know, standing on street corners, having people flip the bird as they go by. The indignities to which these people have been exposed. I mean, they don't love America. They don't support our troops.
Hey, where's your American flag lapel pin?
They aren't wearing an American flag pin. I mean, this is where the argument is in America today.
Yeah.
For the last 3 years, I've been making this movie. It's titled Body of War. We have a website, bodyofwar.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be playing at a landmark theater near you. We open in Washington April 2nd. We're going to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to New York April 9th, then to Boston. We're coming to San Francisco, L.A., Chicago. These are landmark theaters. And what we're out there proving, we hope we prove, that people will come to see this film. This film is different. It's not better. There's wonderful, wonderful work out there. I don't know. I've seen
mm-hmm.
it. We're not saying we're better. We are different, however. Nothing in our film goes boom. There's no archival footage, no narrator. We have a wedding in our film. This is about a young man who comes home and tries to pick himself up from the ashes.
Now, this is Thomas Young,
yeah.
And you describe him as being injured permanently in his first week of combat duty in Iraq.
Yes. Thomas spells his name without an H, which is what moves you to say Thomas. This is Thomas Young.
Okay.
Without an H.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call me Tom. It's Thomas.
Okay.
And proud kid, bright young. He really is a very insightful young man. Signed up 9/13. And the light bulb went on at Fort Hood, where he trained.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to Iraq? He thought he was going to, he signed up to go to Afghanistan. And what we see in our film is a drama that's taking place in thousands of homes in this nation.
Sure is.
That people don't see. And, you know, our purpose here was to don't sanitize the war. You know, if you're going to send a nation's children to war, you have a responsibility to tell that nation exactly the pain and the agony that they're going through. Thomas can't cough. Not only can't he walk, he can't cough. He has bowel and bladder problems, erectile dysfunction, 27 years old, primal life.
Mm-hmm.
What's sacrifice to you? UTI, his urinary tract infection. He throws up every morning. His pills have pills to correct the side effects of the other pills. This is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. What a challenge. And this thing turns not only his life upside down, but the whole family member, all the family members as well.
And Phil Donahue, what about the military medical system and the VA? How have they treated Thomas?
Thomas goes to see Bobby Mueller in our film. Bobby Mueller was on the Donahue Show 100 years ago. He's been in a wheelchair for 38 years. And his injury is almost identical to Thomas's.
Really?
The angle, the bullet entry, a little different. But they're both T4s,
mm-hmm,
between the shoulder blades. And it's some kind of scene. And what Bobby is giving Thomas his first, like, lesson as to what life's going to be like for you now. One of the things he says is, you're going to be in the front line of all those demonstrations.
Hmm.
They put the gimps up front. And Thomas says, oh,
that sounds like a Ron Kovic line.
Thomas is another person who says gimps.
Mm-hmm.
So the old gimp is giving the new gimp a kind of a preview. I mean, it's quite a scene.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in the front line, and he's going to be a visual. They got to have the visual, Bobby says. And Thomas, of course, takes it all in. And then Bobby says, how long were you in the hospital? Thomas says, three or four months, about 3.5 months. And Bobby looks at him, and he stares at him, and says nothing for like 12 seconds. And he says, I was in the hospital for a year. And then after that, I was an outpatient for 9 months. And you're released after 3.5 months?
Wow.
So this is just, you know, this is part of, by the way, our film also features clips of the Iraq War resolution in October 2002.
Mm-hmm.
This is a superficial bumper sticker debate,
right,
where they just took the White House talking points. A smoking gun,
mm-hmm,
will become a mushroom. It's unbelievable. They were all robotic. It was shallow.
Right.
Very few got up and spoke from the heart. Some did. They're our heroes, but there weren't enough.
Mm-hmm.
This resolution passed both houses overwhelmingly.
And did they ask Thomas to return any signing bonus because he was injured so early in his tour of duty? Any of those indignities?
No, nothing like that. Nothing that I know of.
Uh-huh.
Except that, you know, the VA is more likely to throw pills at you than give you a real good, for example, physical therapy program.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas talks about being at Walter Reed. They put him in a physical therapy chair and left him there for 2 hours.
Oh, my.
No, I just left him there. That was his physical therapy.
Well, Phil Donahue, I look forward to this. Body of War is the film. When are you coming to San Francisco?
May.
We'll be in
San Francisco in May.
Okay.
I'm looking for you, Peter.
Let's hook up.
Come
we'll do a full
me.
Hour and talk about it, and I want to see the
All
film,
right.
too. Phil
Thank
Donahue,
you.
Thanks for joining us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a break and return live from Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us on the PBC Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We continue live from Washington, D.C. on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're at the Progressive Conference called Take Back America. It's our third year of originating programs from here, and it gets better every year. I'm delighted to be joined now by Simon Rosenberg, founder of the New Democrat Network, now called NDN. Simon, good to talk to you.
Good to be here, Peter.
Thanks for joining us. Gosh, sure. There is so much going on and a lot of energy out there. And I want to talk a little bit about the way that the two candidates in the Democratic Party have come from a similar fundraising base, but things have really shifted since January with the incredible amounts of money from a wide range of donors that Barack Obama has been raising, almost all on the Internet.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear, because there are people who look at the contribution lists, and it's fair to say that in the early stages of the campaign, that both Clinton and Obama were getting large amounts of money from Wall Street, from the healthcare industry. And while Obama says he doesn't take lobbyist money, and I'm sure that's his intention, I don't think that necessarily makes him pure as the driven snow. But since January, which is when he really outdistanced the Clinton campaign almost 2-1 in fundraising. And despite her comeback, and it has been provable, she's been raising large amounts of money, particularly since Super Tuesday, and it was enhanced by Texas and Ohio. But the money for the Obama campaign is coming from Sally and John Q. Public, at least in large amounts in the past 3 months.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I think what we're seeing is what I call a virtuous cycle of participation. I mean, what happened starting with the Dean campaign in 2003 is that the Democrats started to reinvent the model of how you run a presidential campaign. In the old days, in the 20th century, it was a tarmac hit and a 30-second spot and 200 kids in a headquarters going to work every day. And now the model in your head of what a presidential campaign will be in the 21st century is 10 million people going to work every day as partners in the fight, not just donors to the cause. And I think that really is this legacy that you're talking about is really a legacy of Howard Dean and Joe Tripi back in 2003 reinventing politics as we know it in a much more people-based model. And the Democrats are now in their second presidential cycle of improving this model and testing with it and getting the benefit from it. The Republicans don't even know it exists, I think. I mean, John McCain raised very little money. They've had very low turnout. There's been no enthusiasm on their side.
Yet Huckabee and Ron Paul have done fairly well given their stature.
Agreed. It still hasn't become a mainstream part of the Republican. It's not part of the new model of how they operate their politics in the 21st century. And I think that
they're still getting all their cash from the have-mores.
Exactly.
Bush's base.
Yeah, and I think that, so I think that this is all interconnected. I think the high levels of voter participation, the amount of money, the huge volunteerism, is because these new tools that we have, things like Facebook and the Internet and talk radio, is that it's lowered the barrier to entry for an average citizen to get involved in our politics. And what's exciting as Americans, forgetting about which party you're in, is that what we're seeing is that if it's easier to get involved and if people can make a difference in the future of their country and the country they love, right, they're willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Democrats have an extraordinary advantage going into the fall elections, because we are one cycle at least. I don't think McCain can catch up this year. I don't think it's possible. The Democrats are one cycle ahead of the Republicans in what I call this virtuous cycle of participation. And Obama has been much more serious about building his campaign around this model than Hillary has. And it's accrued to his benefit.
Mm-hmm. And also the Congressional Committee, the DCCC, the Senate Committee, DSCC, they are far outraising their
huge
Republican counterparts.
And the individual candidates are as well.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, at the end of this year, and I don't know the new numbers, the total amount raised by the Democratic candidates for president was $100 million above the Republicans in $2,300 maximum contributions.
Yeah.
Barack Obama raised more money last month than John McCain raised in all of 2007,
mm-hmm.
right? We didn't used to be good at this money thing, right as Democrats.
We didn't used to be the party of a balanced budget.
Right,
either.
Right. And what's exciting is that, you know, I think that what you're really seeing is that this is allowing the fact that average people now are funding and fueling the Democratic Party is that it's going to allow the Democratic Party to be more and a more authentic champion of middle-class people. And I think that's going to make, this is all becoming what I call a virtuous cycle, and I think it's very exciting.
Yeah. And Simon, I've not drilled in. Do you know if Hillary's contributions, particularly the money that came in after Super Tuesday, is that grassroots? Is that all $100 contributions from mom and pop?
All that I know, and there's, as you know, there's stuff that we know and there's stuff we don't know.
Oh, you're not getting Rumsfeld on me. Don't go to the known unknowns.
That was pretty good. I won't go there.
And the unknown unknowns, I'm a mess.
Yeah. Is that
we got a few seconds. Go
ahead. No, I think that Obama's raised more from average people than Hillary.
Okay.
But Hillary's fighting her way back.
Simon Rosenberg, always good to see you. Thanks for joining us from NDN.org.
Yes, .org.
NDN.org.
Check it out.
We'll continue in a moment live from Washington, D.C. Katrina Rill's producing this program. Brian Urban at the controls at the Secret Studio. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge, with Emerson, you can consider it solved. And by Tylenol PM Rapid Release Gels. They combine the fast pain relief of Tylenol with a sleep aid that's non-habit forming, used as directed. Feel better. Tylenol PM. I'm Charles Osgood. This is the first St. Patrick's Day to fall during Holy Week since 1940. And we're told it's not going to happen again until the year 2160. That's 152 years from now. Some cities had their St. Patrick's Day parades last week so as not to interfere with the solemnity of Holy Week. Most of the time, St. Patrick's Day does come during Lent, which is a time of fasting and abstinence, but it usually has not interfered with the traditional St. Patrick's Day traditions, says Professor Maureen Murphy of Hofstra University.
In the 40 days of Lent, when St. Patrick's Day happened, that was a day that you did eat meat, and of course there was the tradition of having a drink on St. Patrick's Day as well.
Yes, to say the least. Why this is happening this time after this? It's one thing to know that the next 1 billion mobile phone subscribers are only a few years away. It's quite another for your network to actually handle them. That's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends will mean for them so that Emerson can supply the backup technologies that ensure millions upon millions of calls keep going through. Emerson anticipates customer needs so that when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved. Tylenol would like to remind everybody that March is sleep month. We have set our clocks forward, but that doesn't mean you have to lose sleep over it. You can find all sorts of helpful ways to help you get a better night's sleep at Tylenol.com. Reading is one of them. It can help you take your mind off your day so that you can put your mind at ease. And, of course, there's Tylenol PM, another safe, non-habit-forming way to get a great night's sleep when used as directed. Because the more you sleep, the better you feel. Tylenol PM. St. Patrick's Day is not a movable feast. It's always on the 17th of March. And it's not always on a certain day of the week, like Labor Day on Monday or Thanksgiving on Thursday. It's whatever day the 17th of March happens to fall on. Easter, on the other hand, is always on the same day of the week, Sunday. But its date moves around depending on the sun and the moon. And Good Friday and the other days of Holy Week are the days leading up to that. Easter is observed the first Sunday after the first full moon on or after the spring equinox, March 20th or 21st. In other words, this coming Sunday. And therefore, this is Holy Week, and it is St. Patrick's Day. It doesn't happen all that often, but Catholics are asked to remember that St. Patrick was a man of faith, not the patron saint of partying. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We come to you all the way live in Espanol en vivo from Washington, D.C. at the Take Back America Conference. It's a slightly chilly Monday evening here in Washington. Not bad for this time of year. And the blossoms, not quite the cherry blossoms, but some things are just starting to pop out. My guess is about 5 weeks behind what we're experiencing in California. Robert Creamer joins us now. He's got a new book out, and it violates my rules of title and subtitle creep. but we'll read it to you anyway. Listen to your mother. Stand up straight. How progressives can win. Bob, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you.
Now, who generated that title?
I admit to it. You know, what do you do? I mean, it's... Anyway, I mean, it does get a little complex, but you know, my view is very simple. That you know, time for progressives to stop running around in a defensive crouch and to stand up straight for their values. Things like compassion, the living wage, and these other things that you've been
announcing.
Top of your store, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. How long have you been working in politics?
Almost four decades.
Really,
a long time. I started out with. The last project Saul Alinsky did in Chicago, and have been involved in progressive political organizing, both on issues and on elections, ever since.
And I know you've worked on the campaign of Jan Schakowsky, who happens to be your wife.
Oh, yeah. That was one of those, you know, as a consultant, you can sometimes say, well, geez, I'm really sorry you lost, you know. Not when it's your wife. You've got to win. That's basically the bottom line.
And she's at, what, eight or nine terms now?
This is her, this is her fifth term.
Oh,
fifth. She's been in Congress for 10 years, since 1998. And
well, she's made an impact equivalent to a longer period of time.
Well, thanks. We hope she'll make a lot bigger impact here in the next year after we take back the presidency, increase our margins in Congress, and actually can begin to change this country in a progressive direction next year.
Now, give us a little idea. I'm out of touch with Chicago politics. I was there when the original boss, Daley, was mayor, and actually met him once. He declined to be interviewed by me. But he was in his fifth term when I was working in radio in Chicago. And I'm just curious because, you know, Chicago's taken many turns. Harold Washington, Jane Byrne, and now Richie Daley. He's in his fourth or fifth?
Gee whiz. I mean, he's been mayor since 19, gee whiz, how long have been? 80-something. And you know, I think there's a general consensus that Mayor Daley has done a pretty good job as mayor. I mean, my
question more, though, is about the tension between progressives and traditional machine politicians. And I give the Daley machine high marks. I learned a lot from the way they operate. I knew guys who had those patronage jobs and how that whole system worked.
Right.
And it's brilliant on a certain level. But it resists progressive policy changes. It's very wedded to the past and to greasing the people who are currently part of the system. So how do progressives in Chicago coalesce around the Daley machine? And in particular, how has Barack Obama managed to navigate there? Because he seems to have a friendly but not warm and fuzzy connection to the Daley operation.
Yeah, the mayor has been, you know, his father was interested in being mayor so he could be a political boss. This mayor is interested in being in politics so he can be a chief executive of the city. And there's a very different approach as a consequence. Mayor Daley doesn't really get involved a great deal in questions of kind of broad national or even state policy that affect anything beyond the city of Chicago.
He's filling the potholes on the Dan Ryan.
But pretty much, and make it. But I got to tell you, it turns out he was absolutely committed to making the city a more beautiful place, and he's very committed to making the schools better, which is a tough you know, deal. And generally gets along with most progressive politicians in the state. And the interesting thing about Illinois is, Illinois used to be a very a swing state, like Ohio.
Sure.
I mean, up until 1988, you know, it went for
Charles Percy, Henry Hyde. I mean, the
parade of
Republicans.
Well, it went for Bush in 88, you know, in the first Bush. Since 92, it's gone for the president, President Clinton twice, and then for the Democrat ever since. And its congressional delegation has shifted, and now we're on. Well, just last weekend we won.
Henry Hyde. Oh no, the wrestler.
The wrestler.
Dennis Hastert.
Dennis Hastert. Seat.
He's going on to the WWF and smack it down.
I hope so.
Twice a week, right?
But it's this is a very Republican district, and the main thing that's important about this is he ran a good campaign. He's a very good candidate. But he stood up strongly for progressive points of view, against the war, against tax breaks for millionaires, against privatizing Social Security, which became an issue in the campaign again, in favor of the kind of progressive policies that would be popular in many progressive districts. But this is a very Republican district. He ran on that. His last closing ad was with Barack Obama endorsing him strongly. He had endorsed him before, but... And he won 52 or 53-47 in a in an election that's a special. In a special election in a Republican district, typically it's right. The Republicans who turn out.
Yeah.
This is an earthquake that I think is a harbinger both in Illinois, where we have the ability to eliminate potentially all but four Republicans in a congressional district this mm-hmm. time that was split evenly as early as just a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the whole country.
Yeah. You just used the secret word, and I have to give you a dollar. Harbinger?
Harbinger.
Yeah. Thanks. Good word.
Thank you.
I like that. I like it a lot. Bob Creamer's with us, progressive political strategist from Chicago. Talk a little bit about this issue. I hear from Hillary supporters who look narrowly at her service in the Senate, U.S. Senate, and his service in the U.S. Senate, and say she's got more experience.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama served 6 years in the state Senate in Illinois.
Yes.
And then he did have a cakewalk in his race for the United States Senate.
He got lucky.
Sex scandal, and then they parachuted in, what's that guy's name?
Keyes, Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes, yeah, sorry. So talk a little bit about that issue, because I believe that the experience rhetoric that's being raised by the Clinton campaign is harmful to the Democratic nominee in the fall, because I think they're raising false issues and that they're falsely claiming, just asserting, that Hillary has the experience to be commander-in-chief and that Barack doesn't. And honestly, I think that they're roughly, you know, equal in terms of their experience in electoral office, and I'll give her a couple of bonus points for her work in the White House when her husband was president.
I agree completely with you. I mean, I'm a big Obama supporter because I think the kind of experience he has is much more germane to the problems we face, which is creating a movement to change things in Washington, not to do things like they've been done. Let's be honest. When Bill Clinton was elected president, he ran against a guy with a resume as long as this table. And
you mean the former CIA chief?
The former CIA chief, the former ambassador to China, the former president, the current president of the United States, former vice president, right?
Mm-hmm.
The current president's boss. I mean, father. And she certainly wouldn't have argued then that he was the better choice based on his experience. I mean, experience is not the... I mean, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, they have enormous amounts of experience, right?
Yeah, isn't it great?
They have great experience. They just have bad judgment and bad values.
Mm-hmm.
Here we got a candidate with great values and a sense of how to inspire the country. The key thing about Obama, I think, is his ability to inspire both persuadable voters, reaching out to independents and Republicans, and mobilizable voters, people who typically don't go out to vote. Inspiration is the key to what we need in politics. We haven't had on the Democratic side since Bob Kennedy was shot that night in June 1968.
Mm-hmm. Bob Creamer with us, Chicago-based political activist, author of a new book called Stand Up Straight, How Progressives Can Win. If you want to talk with him, he's here for another 5 minutes or so. Get on the line pronto at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. David Axelrod, Chicago-based political consultant, probably a competitor of yours.
Oh, a close friend. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And I'll be honest with you, I mean, a comparison of David and some of the people who are leading certainly the McCain campaign. I mean, you talk about lobbyists.
Yeah.
You know, this is a guy who goes out and talks about how you know, we ought to clean up lobbyists. The only people running his campaigns are professional lobbyists for the biggest special interest in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And David Axelrod has a great progressive core values, a great heart. I hope he's in a position to affect what happens in this country.
You know what's amazing to me, Bob, is that last fall I was critical of the Obama campaign because I thought their timing was off. I thought he was late in going into contrast mode. I thought that he was a little late in getting specific on a number of issues. And maybe I need to give you another dollar, but I was wrong. And their timing has proven to be prescient. And I really give them a lot of credit. The combination of strategy, timing, the groundswell, and the money. Obviously, you know, the huge cash they've raised has put them in a powerful position, both in terms of the way the media extends credibility and in their ability to outspend their opponents on television and on the ground in virtually every primary state. And so I am very impressed, and I'll just add to it, that as the kitchen sink has been thrown at Barack Obama, he stands tall, he doesn't start to get defensive or stammer. I haven't been able to see a lot of TV today, and I guess he's in explanation mode about his pastor.
Right.
But, you know, for the most part, I really give him a lot of credit for staying on theme, on message, and not being thrown off by the wide-ranging attacks that have been put up against him.
Well, and tomorrow he has an address in the morning, a major address on race and politics, and I think that's exactly the way he should deal with this, letting people see what his views are and not what these surrogates' views are. Let me just say a word about the excellence of these campaigns, by the way. You're absolutely right that they've combined excellent strategy, inspiration, great messaging with marvelous execution on the ground. And, you know, the one opportunity both these candidates, Clinton and he, have had to run organizations of the size that they would run in the White House, mm-hmm. for these campaigns.
Yeah.
He's done a marvelous job, and Hillary has done a less than marvelous job. They have a very dysfunctional campaign.
Yeah.
And I think that's worth noting as you look at who has the kind of experience we need to really run the country in an effective way.
I don't have any inside knowledge, but my guess is that some of that dysfunction is caused by the former president, who has, you know, a kind of undefined role there, but he's certainly you know, a major influence on the advisors and on the candidate.
Well, that, and you have Mark Penn, who's the their chief strategist, who is
a lobbyist.
He runs Burton Marsteller, the biggest public affairs firm in the United States, representing every special interest around. I mean, it's a very strange kind of arrangement.
But it brings me to this question, and I think that Hillary could help herself a lot if she would give us all an explanation of what Bill would do if she wins the presidency. This came really clear to me, Bob, a couple of weeks ago in this bizarre dangling of the vice presidency to the leading candidate by the number two race. Okay? And, you know, I put myself in Obama's place, and I said, at this stage, of course, I can only wave it off. But if she ends up with more delegates than I, maybe I have to consider this. But before I could ever do that, am I actually going to be the number three in the White House?
Crowded White House.
Where does Bill sit? What does he do? And you're a spouse of a politician, and you probably have to deal with these issues. So what's your sense of how Hillary should handle the Bill question?
Geez, I don't know.
And it doesn't have anything to do with phone calls in the middle of the night.
Bill's an interesting... Bill, that's right. Bill, I mean, Bill is a very capable guy, obviously, and an enormously engaging guy. But it's going to be very difficult for Bill Clinton to not be front and center in a Clinton administration. I mean, that's just the kind of guy he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very difficult problem for them. The other difficult problem, I mean, the Spitzer thing was a difficult problem for them, right?
Yeah.
Because it recanted for everybody some of these problems that, you know, people don't really want to live through again. And
you know, but people aren't looking at the positive side. I mean, he hired a hooker from New York, and, you know, she wasn't undocumented with a driver's license.
Well, there you go. I will say, by the way, Elliot Spitzer was targeted by the FBI. And that's something people need to focus on in the end. It was an outrageous thing to have happened by the federal government.
I have those suspicions, but I have to say they have him so cold that it's hard to really make the case.
It's all true. And definitely true.
Bob Creamer, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, great to
meet you. I want to get a copy of your book, Stand Up Straight, with the long pre and subtitles, and then I'll talk to you again.
Great.
Okay?
Okay.
Real good.
Great, Peter.
Bob Creamer, live here from Take Back America in Washington, D.C. We're going to take a break and return. I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're going to keep your dial.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important
KRXA
aspect of good
540
dentistry takes
progressive
place long
talk
before
Monterey,
you open your mouth.
Salinas, and
Dr.
Santa
Turner
Cruz.
Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Washington, D.C. This is Radio Nowhere.
Thank you.
Actually, it's Radio Somewhere. We're at the Take Back America Conference at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in the Adams Morgan District of Washington, D.C. And joining me now is Paige Gardner, who is the founder of Women's Voices, Women Vote. Welcome, Paige.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me about your organization. What do you do, and why the hell do we need an organization like this?
Women's Voices, Women Vote is dedicated to making sure that women on their own, unmarried women, participate in the same numbers as their sisters, married women. They have a history, unmarried women have a history of under-participating in terms of registering and voting and making sure their voices are heard mm-hmm. in the political process.
Now, sometimes when these things come out in the exit polls, you look at that and you kind of say, well, why? You know, and why can you isolate a group of people based on marital status and squeeze out from all those numbers that they are participating at a much lower level? And I'm sure you've done oodles of research into this. What are some of those reasons?
Marital status is one of the top four determinants of whether or not you register and vote, and actually it's one of the determinants in terms of how you vote. And it's really the defining dynamic in the 21st century. For the first time in American history, we had the same number of unmarried women as married women, 53 million strong, and yet unmarried women don't register and don't vote in the same numbers as married women. And we're changing that.
Okay. Now, just outside the hotel here, there is a bus shelter with a billboard attached to it promoting marriage. And it shows an African-American couple at a wedding. And I think the phrase is that, married people make more money or something like that. Do you know where that comes from? And is that politically oriented, or is that more of a social operation?
I don't know who put that bus out there, but at the end of the day, the fact is and the difference is that unmarried women, 44% of unmarried women make $30,000 or less in this country. And if you look at married women, it's $75,000 or more. So there is a huge economic difference in terms of married and unmarried women. And that's one of the things that divides these ladies.
Mm-hmm. Now, has that changed? Because we've seen dramatic shifts in turnout and participation this year among younger voters and even some other groups that haven't shown high participation. participation in the past.
Well, it's good that you point that out, because unmarried women are now participating in the primary process in historic numbers, and we see that that gap is shrinking dramatically. And so this augurs well for the general. And these women are the most progressive group of voters we have right now in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And unmarried women, both older and younger, are participating in historic numbers. And it's not just the young women and the younger unmarried women who are driving this change.
And is some of it cynicism with the process and a whole frustration with government and bureaucracy that single women, particularly single moms, are just so overwhelmed and busy getting through day-to-day efforts that to take on the government, to think that they can do something to change the war in Iraq, I can understand that our media and our society send messages of powerlessness.
Well, it's actually interesting, because we looked at unmarried women and we asked them a question in our survey. Are you so frustrated and discouraged about what's going on in this country? Because they are the single most important group of people in this country who want change. Are you so frustrated that you'll sit out this election thinking it's hopeless? Or are you so frustrated that you think you're going to go out and vote for the first time? And overwhelming numbers are frustrated. They think the country is headed in the wrong direction, and they are going to make their voices heard.
And who are they voting for?
Well, they're voting for all the progressive candidates. I mean, if you look at 2006, they were responsible for the change in the House and the Senate. And if you look at what's happening in terms of the White House and the presidential election, they don't like the way the last 7 years, and they think that this country needs a dramatic change. They will vote for the change candidate.
And who is that, in their estimation?
Well, we'll see once we have a Democratic nominee.
Okay, but in the primaries, are they supporting Hillary in a sense of identity politics, or are they embracing Barack as the man perceived as a greater change candidate?
You know, it's actually interesting, because they have split their vote. Unmarried women are down the middle in terms of supporting Senator Clinton or Senator Obama. They see there's a lot going on. They see both of them representing change. There is identity politics, as you pointed out. But in terms of the Obama campaign, there is a hopefulness that they're very much attracted to, and a lack of cynicism that they're very much attracted to.
I can only impute from the 90% numbers, for example, of African-American support for Obama in the southern states, most recently Mississippi, that African-American women, single or otherwise, are identifying with race more than gender.
Actually, it's very interesting, because 72% of African-American women are unmarried.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at how they vote, there is a difference between how married and unmarried African-American women vote. In the primary election, clearly the overwhelming majority of African-American women, whether married or unmarried, have voted for Senator Obama. But as we see, there is a differential in terms of how married and unmarried African-American women vote.
Mm-hmm. And have you done any research that really, you know, gives you more attitudes about the candidates from these unmarried African-American women? Because I'm really wondering about the struggle that they go through, because I'm certain they identify, you know, very strongly with Hillary, potentially the first woman president, and yet, you know, there does seem to be a big swing toward Obama in that group.
You know, it's actually interesting, because for the first time, particularly for unmarried women, African-American or white, there is really an embarrassment of riches. They have two candidates that represent change, two candidates that talk about change, two candidates that are very interested in changing our policies in terms of Iraq, health care, economic issues. And so there is this enormous hope that finally the country will be headed in the right direction if we can get a candidate who represents the kind of change that these women so desperately need and so desperately want. If you think about it, an unmarried woman makes 56 cents to the dollar to a married man. That needs to be changed, and they're all about that.
Paige Gardner, thanks for joining us. Women's Voices, Women Vote. What's your website?
WVWV.org.
Oh, WVWV. There should be a radio station with that name. WVWV.org. Paige, a real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very
much. Thanks for the work you're doing.
All right.
Very interesting. We're going to take a break and return live from Washington, D.C. We have two more hours, and there's a free bar down the hall. I'll be back. I promise. I'll be back here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast. Share it with the friends. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Wall Street's crisis has some economists talking doom and gloom.
What you're observing is a canoe moving very rapidly to the point of no return at Niagara Falls.
Florida Democrats scrap their plan for a do-over.
There is no re-vote. There is no rerun of the Florida Democratic primary.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. You might be surprised to hear that the Dow closed higher today, but it was just a 21-point gain, and the broader market was lower as investors absorbed the news that one of the street's big investment banks, Bear Stearns, was so severely squeezed by the credit crunch that J.P. Morgan Chase was able to snap it up for just $2 a share.
It became very, very apparent that, A, Bear Stearns has an enormous amount of leverage, meaning it's got piles and piles of debt. And it's got very risky investments.
Peter Sperling is professor of finance and economics at Touro College in New York. The Fed made it easier for banks to borrow money with an emergency cut of the discount rate yesterday. Tomorrow, it's expected to slash the benchmark federal funds rate by as much as 1%.
Our whole focus here is on policies that are going to increase the confidence in our economy.
Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson spoke after a meeting at the White House. More from CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
Trying to counter economic fears or even panic, President Bush declared that the government has taken strong and decisive action so far and will stay on top of financial disruptions.
We obviously will continue to monitor the situation and, when need be, will act decisively in a way that continues to bring order to the financial markets.
After a morning meeting with his economic team, Mr. Bush conceded he's dealing with a difficult situation, but insisted that in the long run, the nation's economy is going to be fine. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Peter Marici, University of Maryland professor of international business, is not reassured.
The dollar's falling, stock prices are falling, gold is rising, oil is skyrocketing because foreign investors are pulling their cash out of America.
Oil prices did fall back today, down more than $4.50 to $105.68 a barrel. Now this.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda-certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax liens.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/payroll.
The plug has been pulled on a do-over primary in Florida. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
The Florida Democratic Party says reaction to the proposal to revote was overwhelmingly negative, so there won't be one. The idea included a combination of in-person and mail-in balloting to be tabulated and certified by a private company. In a written statement, State Party Chair Karen Thurman says they researched every possible solution, but none turned out to be viable. Now the State Party turns to the Democratic National Committee's Rules and Bylaws Committee, which meets next month. Peter King, CBS News, Cape Canaveral.
New York's lieutenant governor stepped up to a new role today.
Let me reintroduce myself. I am David Patterson, and I am the governor of New York State.
Patterson gave a forward-looking inaugural address, ignoring the Elliott Spitzer sex scandal that propelled him to higher office. He pledged to restore trust and work with the legislature. Vice President Cheney, making an unannounced visit to Baghdad today, said the invasion of Iraq has been difficult and challenging, but nevertheless successful. The challenges continue. Today, outside a Shiite mosque in the holy city of Karbala, a female suicide bomber killed at least 43 people. CBS News chief foreign correspondent Lara Logan in Baghdad says Sunnis were almost certainly behind the attack.
There's very clearly a message to Shiite people inside of Iraq, that, and this message typically in the past has come from Al-Qaeda, that says you are not safe in your country, and we have our own agenda, we have our own mission, and we are capable of carrying that out.
The U.S. military death toll in Iraq is approaching 4,000. Two soldiers were killed today by a roadside bomb north of Baghdad. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer: our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Looking to diversify your portfolio? It's time to start trading foreign currencies at Forex.com. In these financial times, diversification is key. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio beyond stocks and into the OTC foreign exchange market. Start trading foreign currencies 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. Go to Forex.com, open a free practice account today, and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade. Forex.com.
Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. We're at the Take Back America conference on Radio Row. It gets a little quiet as the evening progresses. That's because people are attending festivities with open bars down the hall. It's about a mile and a half, and I did manage to dash over there during the seven-minute break and grab a glass of wine, and Katrina came back empty-handed, so I'm just going to have to share. It's fun here at the Take Back America conference. We do mix politics and good times and socializing, and I think that's all a good thing. And if you want to chime in here, our telephone system works long distance, cross country. You can call in toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Not able to actually access my email live during the show, but you're happy. I'm happy to receive your notes, love notes or other words afterwards, so feel free to drop me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com. Julie Bergman Sender joins us now. She's an experienced film producer and a movie executive. She's made feature films at Warner Brothers, Walt Disney, and Universal. Well, you must have no place left to work in Hollywood.
Well, that's, I mean, hopefully that's not true, but it's nice to be here with you, Peter. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. What's your political angle? Are you a Robert Greenwald type? Do you put political messages into films?
Well, what I try to do, I started doing this work, this political work, in the playing in the media in like 2003 and 4, where I had this kind of strange idea that you could actually move people to activism if they felt that their emotions were touched or their funny bone was tickled or mm-hmm. something. And I thought that if I could try and create a corollary between good content that could enjoy both web distribution and other distribution, which all of that was very nascent then.
Mm-hmm.
It was before YouTube. It was before podcasting. It was the dark ages in 2004. That you could, you know, bring sort of storytelling to policy
mm-hmm.
with people kind of not feeling like they were eating their peas.
Yeah. I like peas, but...
I do too, but
suck-a-tash.
It doesn't have a good connotation for most people from their childhood where their mother said, eat your peas.
Right.
So the first sort of media piece that I did in 2004 was a piece with Will Ferrell doing his Bush imitation. In conjunction at the time with a group called America Coming Together, which
sure.
was...
raised massive amounts of money for television.
No, actually, we didn't work on the massive amounts of raised money for television. We were connected to the ground operation.
I see.
So we created a piece of media that would go out over the Internet in the dark ages before you could put it up in all the ways that we can do now
yeah.
and see if there was a corollary between people actually seeing this piece of media, going to ACT's website, looking at where they could make an impact in their own backyards,
mm-hmm.
and would they take that step. And something like 2.5 million people saw that in the first week, and then 33,000 people volunteered across the country in the swing states
wow.
to walk precincts, to phone bank. So that was the beginning for us and my company, Balcony Films, of doing sort of movement building through media. So I have tremendous respect for Greenwald, and luckily we're very good friends and colleagues, but it's a big canvas and we do different things.
Sure. So, for example, Paige Gardner was sitting here just before you joined us, and
yes.
she talked in some interesting detail about the voting patterns of unmarried women. And I understand that you did a PSA for Women's Voices, Women Vote, and that it had a dramatic impact.
Well, we've actually now worked with her in two election cycles, so it's interesting to be able to look at both elections and say, you know, how does the impact of the media connect with the work they do in direct mail, the work they do through connecting with groups on the ground that are doing voter registration, and the second half of that, which is crucial, which is the get out the vote piece of it. And how does the media help to create a different conversation for mainstream media? How does it help to allow these women in particular to see themselves in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that we worked with them in 2006 was this campaign where I think these women are talking about sex, but they're talking about the first time they voted. And we were attacked in a way that we loved by the right.
Mm-hmm.
And we were celebrated by grassroots organizations that were able to use that. And Paige was able to go on a lot of talk radio and a lot of television and talk about this new demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just did a new campaign for her, which is still circulating with real women talking about why voting is important to them in a set that we put together of the Oval Office.
And if our listeners went to YouTube, could they enter a couple of keywords and find that?
If they went to YouTube, there's a channel there that Women's Voices, Women's Vote is
oh.
there. But if they just type in single women vote,
mm-hmm.
it'll come up.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can go even better to the Women's Voices, Women's Vote website.
Isn't YouTube amazing?
Yes, YouTube is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I mean, from the macaca moment, which is a way of monitoring wayward politicians and keeping them kind of held accountable for their commentary, to the positive expressions that people have used to, you know, the Obama girl, and I mean, there are just millions of examples. I don't know about you, but it's really dangerous when I log on to YouTube and pull out one political piece, and then it lines up four more on the right column. It's really hard to
leave.
And
you can lose a day.
Yeah.
Well, what's fascinating about it is that there's this incredible combination now of user-generated media where people are doing their own thing. There's also now this incredible crossover to Facebook where people are creating their own channels.
Mm-hmm.
And this is only going to continue to grow. And we know that soon everybody will just have it in their hand. They'll be, you know, their own walking television screens.
Yeah. Now, speaking of YouTube, I wanted to get your reaction to the Clinton campaign's 3 a.m. phone call spot. It produced a series of fabulous spoofs on YouTube within days. And a lot of them were based on Ghostbusters, who are you going to call? But there was one really clever one where this guy, you know, the voiceover announcer says, okay, so it's 3:02. Maybe I wasn't clear last time. Barack Obama is sending people into your house to convert your children to Muslim and take away their health care. And, I mean, it was an incredible send-up. And I don't even know who this guy is. I mean, most of the people on YouTube are pretty much anonymous. And yet the power of that expression and the quality. I mean, his production values were as good as the original spot that came out of the Clinton campaign and probably cost $1.5 million.
Well, I think what's interesting about it is it's a new way that people want to have a conversation. And we have kind of grown into being a very visually stimulated society, more so than print, which is unfortunate, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But in the unfortunateness of that is an opportunity, and it means that there are all of these fascinating kind of viral video conversations going on, which I find to be very heartening, that people are actually paying attention and then going to the trouble to answer it. You know, mm-hmm. It's a visual op-ed in a funny kind of way.
Yeah.
And it creates a kind of fervor and enthusiasm that didn't, you know, used to exist in that way before, and mm-hmm. wasn't so tangible to people. And I think that's all good.
Julie Bergman-Sender is with us on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live in Washington, D.C. Now, to that commercial itself, what was your reaction?
Well, I have a mixed reaction to it, because I do think that we've had enough of the kind of headline fear-mongering tactic. Whether it would be coming from the left or the right, it doesn't really affect people to think. That's not the effect of it. It's a visceral punch in the stomach, and that's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lazy, in my opinion.
Ooh, tell me more.
Well, I just feel that if she or Obama, either of them, because both of them have been, you know, attacking each other in different ways, if they really believe that they're the right person to win the nomination, then they should find powerful ways to convince people of that,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to falling into patterns that appeal to everybody's least educated reptilian brain.
Right. That's very interesting. That's the first lazy comment I've heard, and we've discussed this at some length. I would add to what you said that it uses Republican framing and talking points, and irrespective of its short-term impact, it did appear to benefit the Clinton campaign in Texas. I think it creates numerous openings that cannot be closed. That it you know, you saw the political cartoons. And all the late night TV jokes about who's answering the phone, it all revolves around Bill. And there are jokes about Hillary calling at 3 a.m. and coming home late. And Chelsea. And Hillary says, oh, Chelsea, what have you been up to? Did you get in any trouble? And she says, not according to Dad.
Mm.
And so they should have known what can of worms they were opening with that. And I made a prediction 2 days after I saw it that this would be used by the McCain campaign in the fall. And I was only half wrong. They didn't wait till the fall. Mm. They waited 2 days and then started talking about this. Washington Post in Sunday's paper did this lengthy article about, you know, late night phone calls at the White House. And they've given that whole thing just so much depth that simply doesn't exist. And it's amazing to me, and I believe long term it'll be seen as counterproductive.
I think so, and I think that the difference and the reason why, I mean, of course, I totally agree with you that it's right-wing talking points, and the only reason I didn't mention that is because I'm sort of more interested in what's the instinct to go there,
mm-hmm.
by either one of the Democratic nominees, because we know that playbook, and it's our job, it seems to me, as progressives and as Democrats, to try to rewrite that
yeah.
playbook and not just tear a page out of it and do the same thing.
Yeah. Website you want to send people to, Julie?
Well, our website with our stuff is balconyfilms.com.
Balconyfilms.com. Julie Bergman Center. Nice to meet you. I enjoyed this.
Nice to meet you, too. Thanks.
We're live from Washington, D.C. at Take Back America. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
You know you move too fast. This is Professor Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown, asking you to join me Sundays at high noon. We're talking about poetry that makes a difference, and we want to hear from KRXA listeners who think for yourselves. Our theme this month is the poetry of trees. Here's your assignment. Call in with a line you love about a tree or that makes a difference. This is a new kind of news we need. We're launching here at 5:40, Sunday, noon. Together we'll make the morning happen.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. March Madness has struck all-class transportation in Marina. Through March 29th, all-class transportation is offering ridiculously low rates to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. Rent an all-class transportation 8-passenger limousine for the bargain basement price of $55 an hour. A 6-passenger luxury SUV goes for just $50 an hour. And you can enjoy the plush surroundings of a 4-passenger luxury sedan for the low, low price of $45 per hour. The minimum rental time, just 1 hour. Call All Class Transportation, TCP number 22978-A at 831-582-9338 or email John and John at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included, and vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Bunch of problems as we start things off here. Carmel, northbound Highway 1 before Carpenter Street. A motorcycle and three cars reportedly blocking the northbound lane. CHP on the way. Look for heavy traffic both directions as you approach the scene. Monterey County, River Road at Highway 68. A vehicle hit a deer. Looks like everything's off to the shoulder there. In San Martin, a structure fire. Yagas Avenue, East San Martin Avenue. That's just been reported in the area. Some smoke may be visible. Fire department's on the way. Prunedale, Langley Canyon Road at San Miguel Canyon Road. Solo vehicle had its windshield cracked by some gravel that fell off a truck in northbound 9 at Fall Creek Road and Ben Lomond. Three-car crash that was reported in the northbound lane. CHP is on the scene clearing that out. This is brought to you by Sprint, announcing a revolution in wireless, the Simply Everything plan from Sprint. Now you can unleash the potential of your phone without worry that the meter is running. Visit Sprint.com/everything for more details. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting
it. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And we're live from Washington, D.C. here at the Take Back America Conference at the Omni Shoreham Hotel. Thank you, Coolio. And my lines are open for you right now if you'd like to join us. Our scheduled guest is somewhere waiting in the wings, but we haven't found him at the moment. So lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. One of the things I wanted to fill our progressive listeners in on is that this week, the fifth anniversary of Bush's unilateral aggression, invasion, and occupation of Iraq,
is that there are a number of protests and civil disobedience actions taking place. And somebody gave me a flyer for one today. And we're going to stop by and check this out on Wednesday. They are staging an event at Lafayette Park, which is right across Pennsylvania Avenue from the White House. And they are going to wrap the White House in crime scene tape. And I think this is a very interesting statement that we can make.
I want you to know that David Corn is hosting the damn party in there.
Well, David Corn has been pressed into service to join us. Anyway, I think this is very interesting. They're going to wrap the White House in crime scene tape on Wednesday. We will be there. And then, 5 minutes. That's right. But watch out, that mic is live, and thousands of people on the left coast heard you.
Ouch.
Hi, David.
Hi, Peter. Good to see you.
Nice.
I'm sorry I only have 5 minutes, but apparently one of your guests didn't quite make it through the throngs at this conference, so I've been pressed into service, and
well,
I'm happy to do it.
Thank you very much. You co-authored a book earlier this year about our police state.
Well, I co-authored a book with Michael Isikoff called Hubris.
There we go.
Which is about the run-up to the war.
I get Cole and Corn mixed up, and you have
No. That was the David
apology.
Cole of Georgia. I am the Washington Bureau Chief of Mother Jones, and motherjones.com as well. And what I've been talking about mostly the past week is a story I did on John McCain's favorite pastor. There's been a lot of talk of particularly in the conservative press the past few days,
right,
about Jeremiah Wright and Barack Obama. I'm sure you've covered that in your viewer, in your listeners. Or,
well, it's kind of a new idol contest to find the most reprehensible pastor in the nation and, you know, slime a candidate with him.
Well, I think I have a contestant then for you on this.
Yeah. Is it Hagee or Hagee?
Well, Hagee, but this is not him. This
is a new pastor?
I'm happy to report I broke the news here. There's a pastor of a mega church in Columbus, Ohio, named Rod Parsley, as in the parsley you put on to garnish food.
Yeah, I've heard a little about him.
And he's very important in Ohio because, as you know, Ohio is a bellwether state. And in 2004, his mega church and his efforts delivered several tens of thousands of voters, the so-called value voters, to George W. Bush. And that's made him instrumental in Ohio politics. A few days before the Ohio primary, when John McCain was still trying to fend off the dying, you know, last breath campaign of Mike Huckabee, he campaigned with Rod Parsley. Parsley endorsed him, and McCain called this pastor a spiritual guide. Well, I did something that a lot of bloggers and, you know, and commentators don't do, is actually I did some reporting, and I went back and I looked up some of his books, and I found a book he wrote that Parsley wrote in 2005, in which he has a whole chapter. Now, it's going to sound hyperbolic. Here's a warning, but it's not. He wrote a whole chapter saying that the United States was founded in part to destroy the religion of Islam. He called Islam a false religion. He called Allah a demon, and a demon god, and that he celebrated the fact that there should be, if there isn't already, a war between Christian civilization and Islam. There's no such thing as a moderate Muslim. It's all violence and extreme, and Islam has to be eradicated. You know, it's a whole chapter in a book. People can go to motherjones.com and look this up.
Yeah, we're there now.
You know, and so you think about it. Okay, Jeremiah Wright's out there saying things like, well, Jesus might have been black and there's racism in America. And, yeah, I understand.
And the war is immoral, you know, with a curse word in there.
Bill Clinton kind of, you know, screwed African Americans. Well, you know, a lot of people think he did with welfare reform and NAFTA and things like that. But here's a guy who advocates holy war to eradicate a whole other religion and says that's part of America's founding mission. And John McCain, you know, calls him a spiritual guide. Well, it's been 4 days now, four business days, not counting the weekend, and I have yet to get the McCain campaign to respond.
Oh, they're busy planning the trip to Iraq
for the
100-year vision. They had to respond to Spitzergate and, Bear Stearns. So it's easy to keep these things off.
But, Anderson Cooper, Keith Olbermann, Air America, a lot of people have picked up on the story. I'm happy to see that. But I haven't seen any, you know, mainstream reporters yet grill him on it. And I think he deserves it. And, I'm going to, you know, every day or so just keep calling, and eventually I'll be at an event that he's at and get to ask him if it hasn't come up yet. But it seems to me just to be kind of within the ballpark of journalistically interesting items that he's campaigning with a guy who wants to destroy an entire religion. Think of it this way.
Yeah.
If Barack Obama had campaigned with a minister accepted his endorsement, who literally called for the destruction of, let's just say, Judaism.
Right.
Do you think that would be a little bit of a story on Fox, CNN, MSNBC,
yeah.
and maybe make it the New York Times and
Every
the Washington
10
Post?
Minutes.
Yeah. Or three, yes. but yet, this is though. The story's not over though, because there are some religious leaders who are very upset about this, and they're going to put some pressure on McCain.
All right, we'll be watching for it. David Corn, thanks for stopping by. Great to see you.
Great
live in the flesh.
Bye bye, Peter.
Read it at MotherJones.com. Very interesting piece, and we'll pursue that. See if we can propel it, you know, into the propaganda sphere. Okay, that was a toast. We'll continue in a moment, live from Washington, D.C. You don't know what's going to happen next because, well, we don't know what's going to happen next. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Show us our money. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Every time there's a financial meltdown, news outlets run features on why large chunks of your money have just disappeared. And you discover that there are all sorts of investment schemes that you never heard of before. I saw an article over the weekend about a math professor who had parked about $200,000 in an auction-rate security. The article explains that this is a security that you can cash in at the regular monthly auction, which is held who knows where. But the beauty of it is that you get a good interest rate without locking up your money for 5 years. In any case, the professor bought it through a well-known bank, so he figures, how risky can it be? Until last month, when they held this monthly auction, wherever they hold it, and there were no bidders, like abstract art at the church auction. Said the professor, quote, never in my lifetime had customers been unable to rely on an account set up through their local bank. The key word there is through, because in fact, although he made the investment at the local bank, where deposits are guaranteed, the investment was actually placed by the bank's investment division, where the fine print kicks in. That's because years ago we relaxed the rules to let banks have investment divisions under the same brand name. Now, of course, the current doldrums are going to pass, but it occurs to me, wouldn't it be simpler if there were just two kinds of financial institutions? One would be called a bank, where no matter what happens, your money is still there. And the other would be called, what's the word? A casino! Little roulette wheels on the counters instead of calculators. Just to alert you. Now this.
Welcome to Chapman's Cheeses.
Yes. What do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses and disorganized sales figures. But I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
During the writer's strike. 33 minutes after the hour, we're live from Washington, D.C. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins, originating from Take Back America, at the progressive conference that has drawn attendees from all over the country. So far, Elvis has not appeared here at the Omni Shoreham Hotel. But lots of other people have, including Michelle Manette, an independent consultant on foreign policy and government affairs. She worked over at the White House in the late 1990s. She was senior policy advisor to the Assistant Secretary for Western Hemisphere Affairs at the State Department from 93 to 99. Welcome to our program, Michelle.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I want to talk about foreign policy issues with you, and you told me that you are a supporter of Senator Clinton's.
I am.
Just as candidly, I'm a supporter of Senator Obama's. We'll have a good discussion here.
I'm looking forward to it.
One of the things that I'm trying to understand is if Hillary Clinton has a well-formed policy regarding Israel and Palestine. I have not heard this surface in the debates. They've focused mostly on Iraq and sort of general qualifications for foreign policy. But what would she do differently from the Bush administration? And that should be a real easy question.
Absolutely. Well, anything related to the Middle East and policy towards the Middle East over years and years and years, really ever since Jimmy Carter's presidency, has focused on what happens between Israel and its neighbors. And I don't think that she has changed at all in her views that Israel's security is foremost. I think that we've seen not a lot of advance in that area of the Middle East over many years because of some less than strong leaders that they've had, and they've had setbacks of their own, particularly in the war with Lebanon. It will be two summers ago, this coming July, which was really a test of the leadership there, and I don't think that they necessarily proved up to that test in all ways. So I think that getting back and reexamining how to sort of put back the pieces that presented themselves at the Y Plantation Summit that happened towards the very end of the Bill Clinton administration would serve as the pieces and the roadmap to try to get things advanced again. There are some significant changes on the landscape in Israel and in Lebanon and in Jordan since then. You've got a younger leader in Jordan, a much younger leader, King Abdullah, and a very dynamic couple. His wife, Queen Rania, was just here in Washington a little over a week ago to celebrate International Women's Day. We've always had very good connection with the Jordanians, and they were unfortunately hit by the crises of terrorism and borderless terrorism not that long ago when a hotel was struck, you will recall. And I think that the response on the part of the U.S. government and other leading actors, the so-called, there's a like a four-nation group of actors that always get involved in the peace efforts there, that was in line with what it had always been. So that's good news. I think really it's getting back to the question of using the leverage and the balance that we've always had with Israel as being a steadfast ally and a steadfast supporter within multilateral organizations as well as with our financial assistance.
Now, that said, hasn't the Bush administration gone too far in tilting toward Israel and lost any possible role as an honest broker between Israel and Palestine?
Well, that's certainly what is said. And that's where I think that people like Condoleezza Rice was trying very hard through her long association with the Russians, for example, to try to get them to weigh in and counterbalance us, and it doesn't seem to have worked. But above all, why is this happening? We have to stand back and ask ourselves, because the United States doesn't have the ability to affect that kind of, you know, gut-wrenching change in those countries right now, because we've left the world utterly confused as to where we really want to go in the Middle East. We've had a series of efforts on the part of the Bush and Cheney government where they're saying we're all about bolstering democracy in countries where it hasn't existed. But that's really just sort of dressing on the salad. And the core of what they want to do is all about Iraq, you know,
maybe
maintaining or minimizing the fallout from whatever's going to come forth, sort of as the surge peters out. You're going to have a change of U.S. military leadership in Iraq at the end of this year. I only recently realized that Petraeus is going to be coming out of there, probably, as I understand it.
Well, and Fallon's been sacked.
Yes, well, that was very interesting and very sudden.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me come back to Israel for a moment, because one of my concerns is that both Clinton and Obama are, in my view, too close to AIPAC. And I believe that AIPAC, you know, plays a vital role. I don't, you know, believe that they're, a bad organization. But my concern is that AIPAC often squeezes political figures to take a very one-sided approach in supporting the Israeli government. And again, I feel that we need to, you know, get that middle role as an honest broker, because the only way that we can find a path where the Palestinians will stop suicide bombing and the Israelis will stop building walls, expanding settlements, and blockading the Palestinians, leaving them, you know, essentially as caged human beings, that until, you know, we reach a position where we can pressure Israel and Palestine equally, I don't think that we can be an honest broker, and I think we are perceived by the Islamic nations as purely, a surrogate for Israel.
Well, I don't know that I would necessarily disagree with what you've just said. I mean, the situation of the Palestinians this many decades on from when the arrangements were made to carve up the territory in that part of the world, and the lack of their ability to exercise rights, people of any age, of any stature, female, male, younger, older, whatever the case, their inability to leave their country and come back securely, their inability to access medicines and the most basic of human needs, it's astounding. It's absolutely remarkable. One of the real problems is that since the whole Bush-Cheney debacle in Iraq, we've lost the ability to work through places like the United Nations, mm-hmm. where you could have others being that part of that force to influence, to persuade, to cajole the parties in the Middle East. We've utterly shattered that ability to work with those people. I mean, it astounds me that people still sort of raise the hopes of a Secretary Rice trip to the Middle East yielding any kind of a result. I mean, I'm all about and all in support of continued diplomacy, but the likelihood that anything's going to come out of, for example, that half-hearted conference that was held in Annapolis, come on! You know, that's where sort of the legitimacy of American power has really been diminished.
Yeah.
I agree with you. You know, there is a great disequilibrium and a lack of being treated in a way that makes sense given the difficulties in a place like Palestine.
And what about AIPAC and American foreign policy?
Clearly, they're a force. They have been. They're very interesting because they get deeply into the American electoral process.
Yes, they do.
In that they go and support candidates who are even challengers, you know, at congressional elections. And mm-hmm. They aren't just working with those who are elected or rising through the leadership. They go well into the sinews of the political animal like nobody else does. There mm-hmm. isn't anyone else who comes close to them. Well, you know, the security and reassurance of Israel will always be something that any Republican or Democrat, candidate for president or leader in our Congress, is going to have to feel that they must continue to do, and with good reason.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is finding people who have, you know, the inner strength, the vision, the adroit ability to bring parties together to finesse something new. Because really it's been on hold and falling backwards mm-hmm. ever since Bush came into office. I don't want to say that Bill Clinton could have sort of struck that magic that was almost going to work with Arafat.
Arafat, you know, he wouldn't go the distance.
But Arafat has since died.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what so many of the analysts were saying was what we were waiting for. You mm-hmm. know, you also have other new actors out there, like the president of France, who really does want to reassert France as a power in its older and more traditional areas of influence.
Mm-hmm.
The Middle East is certainly one of them. My question is, you know, what if anything, is being done in a constructive and a new way in this remaining time of this administration to try to make that work. Because two years from now, the situation for Sarkozy is going to be different.
Right.
You have this sort of this lack of coordination of bringing the leaders at their political might at the moment when they've been most recently elected. You have like a lack of confluence there, and that's what causes us so many difficulties.
We're talking with Michelle Manette here on the Peter B. Collins Show, a Hillary Clinton supporter. And Michelle, the elections in Palestine that produced a victory for Hamas threw a real curveball at the Bush administration, because on one hand they talk endlessly about freedom and democracy, but when an inconvenient government is elected democratically, and I'm not a Hamas sympathizer, but I understand that they won that election and Fatah was corrupt and that, you know, the voters made that decision. Yet the U.S. has collaborated with Israel to try to isolate Hamas, and I believe that it's compounding the issues. I can't say that if, you know, Hamas had been allowed to form a government and operate freely, that missiles would not be launched at Israel. But I think fundamentally the U.S. is hypocritical and contradictory when we promote democracy and say, well, but not that election. And of course, we insisted that that election take place when Abbas wanted to postpone it.
No, you're absolutely right. That was one of the sort of minor debacles of this current administration. No, I mean, be careful what you ask for and what you wish for. They really have not had the ability to analyze and sort of the ears and eyes on the ground. I mean, certainly the diplomats who are out there at our embassies are fine people, but you do not have at the level above that the sophistication and the ability to sort of pull all the information together and also game it out, strategize it as needed to be done. No, we got ourselves into a box right away over there. And you know, they're always going to fall back and say, well, the thing that trumps everything is terrorism. What are you doing with us with respect to containing terrorism, sharing information about terrorism, what have you? I mean, I get back to those images of the wall being broken through and people fleeing over into Egypt.
Yeah.
And how that came and went as a story on the international media scene. That was extraordinary.
It was.
We haven't seen that in decades, you know, and we're getting back over and over again. There are certain issues that really root in the way that we all, you all, the magic and the maelstrom of the internet gets these things going, like Darfur, that you have Steven Spielberg pull out of being involved in the Olympics in Beijing over the issue of China's lack of willingness to, that was also an extraordinary moment, which is lost, unfortunately, on a lot of people who are sort of the traditional think tank types. They don't connect American popular culture and the potency of American popular culture as telling our story around the world to what's going on or not going on in diplomatic capitals. But thankfully, some of us do understand that.
Yeah.
You know, it's about movie diplomacy and baseball diplomacy.
Michelle, I got time for one more question. And I have to say, this really troubles me. The way Senator Clinton tried to marginalize Senator Obama by saying that she's qualified to be commander-in-chief, the Republican nominee, John McCain, is qualified, and then she had a couple of different ways of marginalizing Mr. Obama, saying he gave a speech or you have to ask him. And I find this really problematic, because I think that by raising the issues in the way she did, if she's the nominee, she's going to be subjected to the same question. John McCain is going to stand up there and talk about the Hanoi Hilton and his military experience and how he's been a part of every war in the last 20 years, and she is going to be then required to defend the assertions that she has made. Likewise, if Obama is the nominee, we're going to see clips of Hillary Clinton in McCain TV commercials questioning his readiness to be commander-in-chief. Do you think that she is that superior to Barack Obama that this is a valuable issue to raise?
Well, what the next president is going to face in terms of needing to take a new turn in what's happening on the ground in Iraq and all around it in terms of the bases and all the support structure and the bases in Europe, et cetera, it cannot be for someone who hasn't been through it and have a great deal of experience with it. that's really where it gets down to the question. Has she been around these issues? Yes. Has she sat through Senate Armed Services Committee hearings and for hours and hours and hours? Has she been over to the region multiple times? The answer to that is yes. Unfortunately, in that is the tough race in a primary campaign, you have to say things that set yourself quite apart from your opponent, and I think that's the context in which it was said.
Okay, I think it was over the top, and it will come back to bite her. Michelle Manette, thank you very much. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you, too. Good luck with
the show. We'll continue in a moment, live from Washington, D.C. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we still have an accident clearing up in Carmel, northbound Highway 1 before Carpenter Street. Motorcycle, three cars. Looks like that's still tying up the right-hand lane. CHP's on the scene. Look for some heavy traffic as you approach the scene. For Salinas, northbound 101 after Baranda Road, CHP reports that we have four kids riding bikes near the roadway there. Definitely drive with caution if that's the case. Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 before you get to Redwood Estates. We have a broken-down car that is tying up the fast lane and some heavy traffic as you approach the scene. In Santa Cruz, that road work still going on. Northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp shut down till this summer. That may cause some delays if you're in the area. Highway 68, we have no problems to tell you about right now. And the Fishhook in Santa Cruz, southbound 17 onto southbound 1, the usual slowing there. This is brought to you by McDonald's. It's the perfect time to grab a refreshing iced coffee at McDonald's. Choose from hazelnut, vanilla, or regular, and stay cool all day long, only at participating McDonald's. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRX.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. at Radio Row, the Take Back America Conference. Joining me now is Jim Dean. He's the chair of Democracy for America, and everybody's heard of his brother, Howard the Doctor. He heads he's got a volunteer job in Washington, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's volunteer, but he's got a job in Washington.
Yeah. And do you still base yourself in Vermont?
Yep. Yeah. Headquarters is in Vermont.
What town?
Burlington.
Yeah.
So
my grandfather came from Burlington.
Oh, really?
South Winooski Avenue.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Yeah.
So we got that, and we got about 805 groups around the country, so we're really kind of all over the place.
Yeah. I want to tell you a story, because I'm on your email list, and I encourage people to go to dfa.org.
Nope. DemocracyForAmerica.com.
.com, okay. DemocracyForAmerica.com. I've been through many websites today, and they're all buzzing through my head. DemocracyForAmerica.com. You can sign up to receive the alerts. And they come, you know, here and then and now. But you sent one out that really caught my attention and caused me to get active. And it was an email alert about the FISA bill. And Sylvester Reyes, the Democratic chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, was ready to cave in.
Yep.
Give immunity, I call it amnesty, to the phone companies.
Yep.
And you put out the alert that he needed a little love and attention, and you listed his phone numbers. So first it was midday on the West Coast, so it was about 2:30 here in Washington. So I called the number for the Intelligence Committee office. And voicemail comes on and says, you know, if you get this message after hours, leave a message. If you get it during hours, we're in a hearing or something like that. So that was a dead end. And then I called his congressional office in Texas. Rang and rang and rang and rang. And then finally a voicemail system picked up. And I just picked a staffer at random. I pressed 2. And then that phone rang and rang and rang and rang. And it finally didn't go to voicemail. It picked up. A human being answered. And I said, hello, this is Peter B. Collins. I'm calling from San Francisco. I'd like to urge Chairman Reyes not to give in to the phone companies and the White House and grant this amnesty. And I swear, Jim, I think this kid was taking the calls under his desk. He just seemed so cowed. And I don't know if, you know, the number of rings it took for him to answer. Because, you know, most congressional offices, the interns are trained to answer on the first ring or die.
Yep. Yeah.
And so this young man, you know, he interrupted me in midstream once he got the gist of what I had to say. Thank you very much. Gotta go. So did you get any feedback from the congressman on those love and kisses that we delivered?
Well, we got quite a bit of... Well, first of all, thank you for making that call. I mean, this is what makes the world go round, and this is what gets people to move on issues.
We sometimes make the calls on the air. There's a little risk at the FCC for that, but nobody's prosecuted me yet.
Well, good, but I'm really glad you did that. You know, we did get a lot of, feedback. And certainly a number of our members were calling and were having all kinds of different issues getting through and talking to staff members. But then we were contacted by some staff from the Intelligence Committee, and they submitted a letter from Congressman Reyes, which was a nice letter, but didn't really go all the way towards being really clear about telecom immunity.
Yeah.
So
he was willing to split the baby at one point and say, well, for anything that happened before 9/11, they're vulnerable, but we'll give them amnesty for post 9/11. Now, this was interesting to me because the burning question for me is why the wiretapping started before 9/11. I really want to know that.
Yeah.
The scope of the program afterward, I can understand that there's some national security issues there, but the bottom line is they don't have the right to spy on Americans. We have a Fourth Amendment guarantee of probable cause.
Yep.
And they have bulldozed over that, and that's why this FISA reform bill, the House version, is so important.
Well, you know, he came around in this, and he led it out of committee to a floor vote, and they voted a bill through that does not grant telecom companies immunity.
And saw me shocked in San Francisco.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, he was almost there, but not quite, and then he got there, and that's what's important. I mean, they listen, and if we are out there doing this kind of activism, people are going to come through. Unfortunately, this is an issue that, as you know, has been rearing its ugly head for a long time. And we had the same thing going with Senator Reid earlier in the year. And I imagine either this week or next week we'll be calling Senator Rockefeller's office for the same reason.
Well, let's get on DiFi, too. She's a dino.
That. Yep. And we've already been doing calls to her office again earlier in the year. But, you know, we're just going to stick with this because, you know, if the phone companies haven't done anything wrong, the courts will adjudicate that properly. And if they have, we should not be granting immunity, particularly in a case where we don't even know what they've done.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. And you can't have a national security policy that works without credibility and accountability. And that's what this is really about.
Jim Dean from Democracy for America with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. One of the races my listeners are paying close attention to is Charlie Brown's hope to replace John Doolittle in the 4th District of California.
Yep.
And we celebrated when Doolittle retired to count the money that he and Julie took in on the campaigns. You know, she earned a 15% commission on every dollar he raised. But now the Republicans have gotten wise, and they squeezed out this lower-level guy, Rico Aller, and brought in a heavyweight, a carpetbagger, Tom McClintock, who has run statewide and came close to challenging Schwarzenegger. He's a rock-ribbed conservative Republican, and the district is too. So this creates a big challenge. What are you going to do there to help Charlie Brown?
Well, certainly we've been doing a lot already. I mean, we have groups in Stockton and Sacramento that have worked very, very hard in his campaign. Charlie and his whole family have worked very hard going door to door and talking to voters about the issues. See, this is a guy that's really building up name recognition and gravitas the way it should be done, vote by vote. So I think that's going to stand him well in the race. I think I don't understand why the Republicans have decided that somebody from Los Angeles can run in the Northern California 4th District, but that's their problem and not Charlie's. And I think as long as he keeps plugging away with this, we're certainly going to continue to help with boots on the ground and do what we can to raise money for him.
I got a TV commercial. It's Motel 6, and on the marquee it says, "Welcome, Tom McClintock."
Well, he's really, you know, and he's such a great guy, Charlie Brown. We've done two trainings in his district, and a lot of people who have gone to those trainings are going to be going and helping him out.
Yeah. Jim, great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Don't stop.
I won't. Thanks.
Jim Dean, democracyforamerica.com. We're going to take a break and do another hour live from Washington, D.C. I'm Peter B. Collins here at the Take Back America Conference. You can send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And go to peterbcollins.com. There's a link on the homepage where you can access our podcasts and share them with a friend. We'll continue live from Washington. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush had a crisis meeting with his economic team today.
One thing is for certain, we're in challenging times. But another thing is for certain that we've taken strong and decisive action.
He praised the Fed and Treasury Secretary Paulson for staying on top of the situation. The Fed cut its discount rate over the weekend and made short-term emergency loans available to investment banks like Bear Stearns, which got so low on cash that it's now being taken over by J.P. Morgan Chase at fire sale prices. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason is following this story.
In 4 days, this company that had been around for 85 years has basically disappeared. And all the value that the employees had, the 14,000 employees of Bear Stearns owned nearly a third of the company. So basically, all that's been wiped out. It's gone.
Shareholders have filed a class action lawsuit against Bear Stearns management, which just before the collapse was offering reassurances that the company was sound. The Florida Democratic primary party has dropped its plan to sponsor a do-over primary. Spokesman Mark Brubisky.
The overwhelming response that we got was that Florida Democrats felt that the vote on January 29th should count.
Hillary Clinton won that contest, but because Florida moved up its primary in defiance of the National Democratic Party, the delegates will not be seated at the convention. She wants that ruling reconsidered. Barack Obama says that would unfairly favor Clinton.
Neither candidate looks good. Clinton looks like she won't compromise and abide by the rules, and Obama looks as though he's afraid of a revote.
University of Virginia political analyst Larry Sabato. In Michigan, which Clinton also won, Democrats are moving ahead with plans for a do-over on June 3rd. Weightless mechanics from Shuttle Endeavour are back at work outside the International Space Station. We get a live update from CBS News correspondent Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center.
Astronaut Rick Linehan is making his third spacewalk.
I forgot it was St. Patty's Day.
should have worn the green EMU suit.
EMU is NASA speak for a space suit. Linehan and rookie Bob Mankin have been out for just over an hour.
We have an appointment with Mr. Dexter from the CSA.
The Canadian Space Agency robot Dexter is their first stop as they put the final touches on the new astronaut helper. Bill?
The Justice Department's Inspector General says there's still room for improvement in the way the FBI maintains its terrorist watch list. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis.
The Inspector General audit gives the FBI a mixed report for its central role in placing suspected or known terrorists on the watch list. The audit found numerous cases of outdated, incomplete, or faulty information about watch list names, problems the FBI admits it is still trying to fix. The number of names put on the list has been going down from 3,400 in 2005 to 2,200 last year.
The price of gold fell today, finishing at $105.68 a barrel. This is CBS News.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to freecreditreport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax levies.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at quickbooks.com/payroll.
The average price of gasoline jumped 6 cents over the past week to a record $3.28 a gallon, and diesel fuel, which used to be cheaper than regular gas, is priced like super premium these days. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
If you drive, you know fuel costs are soaring. Gasoline up 29% in a year, but diesel fuel has jumped 46% and has now hit a national average of $4 a gallon. Why?
Global demand for diesel as a passenger vehicle fuel is huge.
AAA fuel price analyst Jeff Sundstrom says some American refined diesel is actually being sold overseas.
They're willing to pay more at a wholesale level.
Another price factor? Today's cleaner ultra-low sulfur diesel costs more to make. While most people don't use diesel in their cars, it is the fuel that hauls most freight around the country. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The once almighty dollar is no longer welcome at small currency changing services in Amsterdam. American visitors find they have to go downtown to change their money. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax levies.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at quickbooks.com/payroll.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course, it's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. And gosh, Rick Perlstein and I were just talking about Fred Thompson and how he had the corner on the trophy wife vote in the Republican primaries this year. And Son of a Gun, our theme music for Fred Thompson comes up from Curtis Mayfield. Let's listen. It's called Freddy's Dead.
Isn't he ever?
Well, he'll be back, though, don't you think, Law and Order?
McCain's got one, too, though.
That's true.
Cindy's a nice heiress.
With an Anheuser-Busch brewery fortune behind her.
You know, they made fun of Teresa Carey. They made fun of John Kerry because they had a vacation house that was owned by his wife.
Yeah.
His beautiful cabin in Sedona, Mr. Uh-huh. McCain's, owned by his wife.
Oh. All right, that's enough. Thanks, Brian. There goes Curtis Mayfield. Rick Perlstein is a senior fellow at the Campaign for America's Future, our sponsor here at the Take Back America Conference, and he has already posted blog entries today from day one of the conference. You're very busy, Rick.
Well, it's night.
Yeah?
I mean, it's 7 o'clock out here, right?
Right, o'clock. That's true. Yeah? Yeah, it's 8 o'clock now.
And, you know, I got her in the paycheck, you know.
Oh,
they give
I see.
Me benefits, and we don't have universal health care yet in America, so uh-huh. I need a job.
You get paid by the word? As a senior fellow, I would imagine that it's just a huge six-figure stipend.
I get paid by the word when I write for our good progressive magazines like The Nation.
Uh-huh.
You know the old joke about The Nation?
What?
Calvin Trillin, you know, who does the little poems.
Sure, I know, bud.
He said that Victor Novasky always pays him in the high two figures.
Rick, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to see you again. And you and I spoke a couple of weeks back. I was on late night for John Elliott, who's here somewhere on Air America. And we had a lively conversation. I really enjoyed it. Tell me what your focus is. You did a panel here today, and it was called Winning Forward, or the Crack Up of Conservatism.
Right.
What is conservatism really cracking up? Can we buy into that meme?
Well, my bag here at Campaign for America's Future, and also my work as a writer and as an author, is writing about, studying, thinking about the conservative movement and the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year ago, we started a blog on Campaign for America's Future's website called The Big Con.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise of The Big Con is that conservatives cannot govern. And it's very easy to explain why they can't govern. They profess their contempt for government right there in the open. You know, would you get a house painter who says, I hate painting houses? You know, no, you would not.
I had a guy weather strip my door, and at the end he said, you know, I don't know diddly about weather stripping.
Yeah,
I said, oh,
yeah.
Thanks for telling me now.
Yeah, and you impeached him.
No, I threw him off the deck.
But, you know, that's what I do. And sometimes I feel guilty that I have a blog called The Big Con, because I have friends who are conservatives. I don't like calling them conmen. But whenever I feel ambivalent about it, I generally just read the newspaper and come around.
Well, but we have to parse words here. You and I actually went to the wrong website trying to pull up your blog,
right.
And it appears to be a conservative site that's trying to latch on to a very similar-sounding name. There could be a lawsuit there.
Excellent example.
At any rate, it's interesting to me because there are true conservatives who I respect, and I respect them to their fidelity to principle. And if we had true conservatives, we wouldn't have huge deficits. We wouldn't be meddling in people's lives and trying to ban same-sex marriage. I mean, a Barry Goldwater conservative would be repelled by what passes as conservative, big government tax cuts for the rich. I mean, none of those are consistent with a true conservative philosophy.
And yet, even if you go back to the Barry Goldwater philosophy, which was kind of described most pithily in Ronald Reagan's inaugural address in 1981 when he said government isn't the solution, government is the problem. You know, that's what Barry Goldwater thought, too. Once you reach that axiom, then you're basically committing yourself to failure. You're committing yourself to crumbling bridges. You're committing yourself on the other side of the Mississippi River to crumbling levees. And by the way, this word principle is very interesting. About a few years ago, I realized that liberals and conservatives mean exactly opposite things by the word principle. Republicans, when they talk about principle, they say that guy's a really principled conservative. That means that this is a conservative who's willing to let the means justify the ends and will do anything to achieve their conservative vision of government. When a liberal talks about principle, they mean a guy who's fair, who plays by the rules. It's really a reverse of each other. I mean, we're even speaking different languages when we talk about something like principle, we talk about something like ideals, when mm-hmm. we talk about something like freedom. I mean,
But let me give you an example of a guy who I consider to be a principled conservative in what I consider to be the favorable interpretation of that two-word phrase. Bruce Fein, Republican,
Right.
Helped on the Ken Starr impeachment team, which I find distasteful. But he is very committed to our Constitution.
Right.
And he and Barr from Georgia, who
joined the ACLU, and
also despise on many other issues, they're doing good work trying to goad Democrats and Republicans into a return to constitution-based law and into signing statements and into wiretapping and into Gitmo and torture and the departure from the Geneva Conventions. And I've got a lot to embrace there. Bruce Fine and I can work together on those issues, and maybe he'll tell me some stories about Ken Starr sometime.
There's another Bruce Bartlett, who is a guy who got fired from the Bush administration for saying that these deficits are insane and that Bush is talking out of both sides of his mouth on things like the budget. But then again, this same Bruce Bartlett wrote a book about how Democrats are really the racist party because all the racists in the South in the 50s were Democrats. So, I mean, you scratch and you can usually find something to be offended by anyone who calls themselves a conservative.
Rick Perlstein here. He's a senior fellow at the Campaign for America's Future. You can catch his blog at ourfuture.org. Look for The Big Con. Now, you told me a little bit before we went on the air about a panel you did today with a woman named Kristen Sinema.
Yes.
Not cinema like a film. It's spelled S-I-N-E-M-A.
Because she is a sinner.
Ah. Tell us her message.
Well, Kristen Sinema is an openly gay state legislator in the progressive state of Arizona.
Mm.
And she had a very interesting experience in 2004 that was pretty unique for a Democrat. She won. You know, Barack Obama won, but pretty much everyone else lost. It was her and Barack, pretty much.
And Arizona is the only state that defeated a ban on same-sex marriage.
And she led that campaign. And she has a very, very strong argument about how you should run a campaign like that. She did lots of focus groups. And instead of using the language that we as progressives like to use because it makes us feel good, calling the other side bigots, being self-righteous, they never used the word gay marriage. They never used the word bigotry. They never used the word hate. They talked about an old married couple, unmarried couple, who couldn't visit each other in the hospital.
Yeah, it was the senior vote that turned the tide there.
Yeah, yeah. They were Max and because, you know, the wing nuts, the conservatives, made a mistake of putting the initiative on the ballot that would basically ban partnership rights for opposite-sex couples, too. But at the same time, that happened in a lot of these states that had these initiatives, and they were still able to win. Kyrsten Sinema put together a very smart campaign. She is very frustrated by the way that often progressives will just get involved in politics because it makes them feel good, and they want to feel self-righteous. She was interested in winning, and they did win. And even though they didn't use the phrase gay marriage, even though they ran in what might be considered a kind of milquetoast, middle-of-the-road, centrist campaign in certain ways, they did something very fascinating. A year after that ban failed, they ran a poll, and they found that the number of Arizonans who supported gay marriage increased by 17%.
Mm-hmm.
They took people halfway the way there, and people found their way to the just position on their own.
Now, I think there are important themes there, and I support George Lakoff's work.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a great guy named Jeffrey Feldman, runs a website, frameshopisopen.com, and he's got a new book out, name I can't summon right now. And so I think it is important to be smart about the language and the framing that we use. I've also heard Rush Limbaugh refer to Professor Lakoff as Lakoff. And he pauses to let you rhyme a word with that. Professor Lakoff is advising the Democrats on how to lie. Yeah, they talk about language and framing, but it's lying.
If I had one more wine, I would have just totally freaked out right there. There's a cocktail party going on, and I really thought I was across the way from Rush, who I've been listening to since 1989.
All right, so where's the balance there? And how do we avoid being called liars because we're conscious of the words we use?
Yes, and Kyrsten Sinema actually addressed directly that point. This is the great thing about being the progressives. We have the truth on our side.
True.
We don't have to lie. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, the conservative position on gay marriage is that it's going to destroy the fabric of society. That is lie. That is not true. That's nonsense. That's made up. Our position is that committed relationships are actually a boon for society.
Mm-hmm.
So all we need to do is actually tell our truths in a way that actually is palatable to the people, the way people speak in their day-to-day lives, and we don't need to make fun of people's names. We don't need to call people lack-offs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need to use people's middle names like John Sidney McCain or Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, then let me bring it into the current context, because I am attracted to the campaign themes that Obama has articulated about post-partisanship, and I also recognize that this swamp in Washington kills critters like that. And so how does he balance the themes that get him elected with the critical need to govern when he gets here, and the lesson that we saw Bill Clinton learn on day one when he tried to lift the ban on gays in the military, and it was his own party, Sam Nunn, that came and clobbered him on it. So what should Obama do to balance his rhetoric with the realities of Washington when he takes office? And you have 5 seconds.
Billion-dollar question. He's a sphinx. I don't know.
Brian, pause the music. We're not ready yet. We'll give you 30 seconds. I really want to hear what you have to say there. What should Obama do to balance that?
I like to believe that Barack Obama's talk of rising above the fray and being post-partisan is a rhetorical way to think about his realization that the Republicans really have taken the country into a ditch and that we need to fight them tooth and nail, but that it's a better strategy to fight them by not turning people off and alienating them with harsh language that might make them not even listen.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. Rick, thank you very much. Hit the music, Brian. Great to see you. We'll talk again real soon. Rick Perlstein, senior fellow at the Campaign for America's Future. Check out his blog at ourfuture.org. More in a moment. Here from Washington on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With 6 professionals, 2 doctors of osteopathy on duty, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally.
mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we have a new problem for you. It's in the Santa Cruz Mountains, Mountain Charlie Road at Riva Ridge Road. Grass fire burning on the hillside. Fire department is on the way. In Soquel, heads up, Robertson Street at Soquel Drive. We're getting reports a manhole is sticking straight up into the lanes. Drive with caution there. A crash reported Monterey County Highway 1 north of the Coast Gallery. Two cars involved and reportedly blocking lanes. Now, unclear at this point where the Coast Gallery is. If you're out and about and you can spot that for us, let us know. 415-901-7990. Highway 68 currently checks in Stalin, accident-free. The Fish Hook, southbound 17, on to southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. You have the everyday heavy traffic as you approach the scene. This is brought to you by Garmin. With a Garmin newbie, you'll know where you are, and with turn-by-turn spoken directions, you'll know where you're going. As you navigate life, follow the leader, use a Garmin. I'm Nate Nix, that's traffic on KRXA.
Lots of protests here in Washington, D.C. this week, observing the fifth anniversary of a huge mistake, perhaps the biggest blunder in American foreign policy history. We're live from the Take Back America Radio Row at the Omni Shoreham Big Fat Hotel here in the Adams Morgan District of Washington. David Donnelly joins me now, and he is the National Campaigns Director for PCAF, which stands for...
Public Campaign Action Fund.
Okay. And I have a trick question for you. Can you name the Keating Five?
Well, I can name a couple of them.
Okay.
Certainly Senator John McCain, who is the Senator John McCain, the presidential nominee on the Republican side, was
right.
one.
Uh-huh.
Dennis DeConcini, another senator
Very
from
good.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Ms. John Glenn from Ohio.
That's correct.
And this is where it gets a little...
Alan Cranston from California.
California, yeah.
I can't remember the fifth myself.
Yeah.
I mention that because after that whole dust-up, McCain kind of skated, and he has. He's rebuilt his reputation as a campaign finance guy, and many people accept that that perception of him. But I knew Senator Cranston in California a little bit, particularly after he retired. I had a number of great conversations with him. And I remember a floor speech that he delivered shortly before, I can't recall if it was a censure or he was reprimanded by the Senate for his role in helping Charlie Keating with his savings and loan problems. And he said, "There, for the grace of God, go I." And our political financing system is so corrupt, it really does amount to bribery. It's legalized, it's all sanitized, and you know, there are laws that allege to govern it, and there are reports that get filed and forgotten. But the bottom line is, we're going to spend billions of dollars in electing people this year, and what do we get for it? We get negative ads, we get 3 a.m. phone calls. I'm sure that Barack's preacher is going to be featured in a bunch of TV spots very
right.
soon.
Well, I think the difficult thing with this campaign finance system is I don't think anyone would design it so bizarrely as what we have today. Candidates spend an inordinate amount of time, raising money for the next re-election rather than solving the problems that are confronting the country. It's really just unsustainable. It's no way to run a democracy, and it's certainly no way to run a government.
Mm-hmm.
We have wealthy interests that are looking to curry favor with elected officials who will be deciding on that very day or the next day or the next week on matters that impact the bottom line of major corporations in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add to it the fact that very few people can mount campaigns unless they have fat Rolodexes or the access to lots of money themselves.
Yeah.
And that means it narrows the number of people who actually can run for office in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it narrows the kind of backgrounds and experiences that people bring with them into elective office. It really does a disservice to to the principle of one person, one vote, and it does a disservice to the functioning of government on a day-in, day-out basis.
We saw Duke Cunningham go off the deep end, and he was convicted of bribery, but for a couple of million dollars, he fixed hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts for his buddies.
That's right.
I mean, the return on that investment defies business school MBA candidates.
Well, it's a pretty good investment to make if you're a business owner or a corporate CEO to invest some money into elected officials, because the return is so much greater than what you put in.
So what are you doing about it?
Well, we work on public financing of elections. We work on a kind of reform that allows candidates of average means or regular backgrounds to run for office. You raise a small number of small contributions, qualify for a set amount of public money to run your campaign, and then your fundraising is over and you get to run a campaign based on the issues you care about and on talking with average voters. It's the law in a number of states around the country, including Maine and Arizona. It's going into effect in Connecticut, and it's in a variety of other places. And it shows that elections can really be about voters and not about donors.
Yeah.
In Maine, for example, 84% of the state lawmakers were those elected without having to raise a dime of special interest money. In Arizona, there's a governor who's been elected now twice, Janet Napolitano, who was elected without raising money from the fat cats in Phoenix and other places around the state. She raised lots of $5 qualifying contributions from average voters to be able to run for office to show that she had a base amount of support to run. It completely changes the kind of people who can run, and it changes what they do after they get elected.
Yeah. And your website is campaignmoney.org?
That's right.
People can get more information there. And just quickly, any way we can spread this virus? Of election finance reform.
Well, you know, I think we need to hold our elected officials to a high standard and ask them to support this if they're in office, in both in state legislative office as well as in Congress.
Yeah, great. David, keep up the work. We need it. Let's get the money out of politics. We'll continue in just a moment live from the Take Back America conference in Washington, D.C. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. This program's produced by Katrina Rill, Brian Urban at the controls.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me, at Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Go ahead, take a deep breath.
Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This is Amanda. Hello, Amanda. Great to see you. Sure we have.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue our live broadcast from Washington, D.C. and the Take Back America Conference. Lots going on here. And we've got lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Amanda Turkle's just stopped by from the Center for American Progress and the Daily Progress Report. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine today. How about you?
It's great.
Soaking up all these progressives?
Oh, it's lots of fun down here.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And what have you found fascinating that will show up at Think Progress in the very near future?
Give us
the scoop.
Well, what's been best is just hanging around all the progressives. There are people here from all over the country. A lot of them aren't people involved in the D.C. establishment. A lot of activists here to see what's going on, so it's great to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. I've got an activist in San Francisco as an alert for us. Let's talk to Robert on line one. Hello, Robert. It's Peter B.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, I was wondering if you could run into any U.S. naval admirals and have them anchor a U.S. Aircraft carrier off the coast of Washington, D.C. To support the immediate arrest and interrogation of the neocons.
Maybe well, Robert, which coast of Washington, D.C. did you have in mind? They have a river here, but I don't know that we could get an aircraft carrier up the Potomac.
In Washington, D.C., and then just have them ship down on, and have them give a nice cruise down to Guantanamo.
Oh, you like that idea, huh?
I do. I really do.
Well,
maybe
Robert,
prevent a false flag attack so they can get into Iran like they did on 9/11.
I see. Well, Robert, you may be interested, and maybe you heard me talk about this, but World Can't Wait is promising a protest on Wednesday just opposite the White House at Lafayette Park, and they plan to wrap the White House in crime scene tape.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I wonder just how far you can get.
Well, I want to thank Lieutenant Colonel Robert Bowman, the former head of Star Wars, who's been supporting the 9/11 truth movement.
Yeah, we've talked to
other people because we have overwhelming evidence that 9/11 was an inside job.
Well, Robert,
9/11 truth.org
Robert
has much of the evidence.
Okay, Robert, I appreciate your point of view. I would modify your statement to say that we don't know the truth about what happened on 9/11.
We know lies, and we know we haven't been given the truth, Peter.
Okay, but Robert, don't carry that forward to a conclusion that it was an inside job. You undermine your own credibility with the people who are closed-minded about what you're saying.
Well, who else could have put explosives in Building 7? That building was a controlled demolition that was a secure building, Peter.
Well, Robert, I don't disagree with that. I cannot prove what happened there, and I do believe that the way Building 7 came down is consistent with a controlled demolition.
But Robert, I can't
prove that that happened, and therefore you cannot build a hypothetical conclusion on the argument that you're making.
It's ipso facto, Peter. I mean, if all the conditions of a controlled demolition are met, then therefore it must be a controlled demolition, and it had to be somebody placed those explosives.
I guess that I'm not going to persuade you, Robert.
You can't persuade me. I've been doing this for 7 years, Peter. I'm dyed in the wool.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Good to hear from you. Lines open if you'd like to talk with us here in Washington. Now, Amanda, at Think Progress, I know that you've gotten emails from people like Robert who come to those really strong conclusions. And you heard my argument. I'm open to various theories, and I don't believe the official story that we've been told about 9/11. But it's quite a leap, is it not, to go from there to say it was, you know, definitely an inside job?
I think it is quite a leap, and quite honestly, we don't have any evidence of that. What we do focus on is what we know. We know that there were no links between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, and that recently the Pentagon has been blocking a report showing that, saying that, well, you can request it if you want, but we're not going to make it readily available because it's just too damaging. You know, we also know there were no weapons of mass destruction. We know that the Bush administration put forth a lot of misleading statements that were, quite honestly, untrue. So we try to focus on what we know and what we have evidence of.
Mm-hmm. Now, that Pentagon report, they initially planned to release it, and then they said only qualified, certified journalists can get it. Have you been able to obtain a copy?
We haven't tried, quite honestly, but it was very funny because today Vice President Cheney was talking about it, saying that, you know, I know what these reports say, but I think there was still a link between Saddam and Al-Qaeda, so they're not giving up on that.
Well, and he was on that peace mission to Baghdad, right?
That's right, the peace mission.
He's our official peace maker.
Showing all the progress that's over there.
Yeah. Now, I only caught a snippet of his, I guess it was a news conference, or at least he made a statement from Baghdad. What was the gist of it? Just claiming victory? I mean, one of the things that I find curious is since the Bush administration now asserts that the surge is working, one way to call their bluff is to say, okay, then we can bring the troops home, right? The surge is working, violence is declining, we don't want to be in the middle of a civil war, and gosh, your great puppet government, it's going to do great, so let's get out.
Well, of course, they say that while it's working, it could stop working anytime, and we have to keep the troops in there because, you know, that's what Al-Qaeda wants. Al-Qaeda would win if we pull out. So that's what he was claiming. He talked about how he met with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and talked about a long-term agreement with Iraq, which is troubling a lot of people. It's very controversial that the U.S. may stay in Iraq for a long time, even 100 years if John McCain has his way, and would have to defend Iraq from internal and external threats.
Mm-hmm. Now, Amanda, I haven't been able to look at the progress report of Think Progress in a couple of days. How are you handling Preachergate? And are we going neener neener to bring up John McCain's preacher buddies to offset the Fox News-driven excessive coverage of Reverend Wright from Chicago?
Well, we haven't touched Preachergate too much, but today what we did look at is Bill Kristol's column in the New York Times, which is always fun and always filled with a lot of misstatements. And today he said that Barack Obama was sitting in the audience while the preacher, Reverend Wright, made a lot of his controversial statements. Well, that was absolutely not true. So that's since January, since Bill Kristol started his New York Times columns, he's had to issue two corrections already. It's very, very sloppy. I don't know why the New York Times doesn't have more fact checkers.
Yeah. And has the campaign to get Bill Kristol off the Times op-ed page kind of petered out?
I don't know if it's petered out, but I think we recognize that right now the New York Times isn't going to do it. But after a year, I would be very surprised if they finish his contract. I mean, even New York Times reporters themselves and the public editor have said, I don't think this was the best choice. He's just not that good of a writer and doesn't have a lot new to say. And with all these mistakes, he may not stay.
Yeah. Now, back to McCain for a minute. David Corn was here about an hour ago. He's got a new piece up at MotherJones.com about Reverend Paisley from Ohio, who was part of the Love Fest in Cincinnati when that radio talk show host, whose name escapes me, from WLW, did the ugly introduction of McCain and kept talking about...
Cunningham?
Bill Cunningham, mm-hmm. Very good. Kept talking about Barack Obama and using his middle name. So that's an interesting piece. And also, Robert Dreyfus has an article in the current issue of The Nation that is based on Republican sources, highly critical of John McCain for his temper, his temperament, and the way that he doesn't get along with his colleagues in the United States Senate. So I think there's a lot of information there, but it seems the corporate media wants to bring us Elliot Spitzer, a little bit about Bear Stearns, and a whole lot about Jeremiah Wright.
Well, they still love John McCain. As long as he keeps hosting barbecues for them at his house, they'll write stories. For example, they recently wrote a story talking about how he's a man of the people because he rode an Amtrak train. Well, I mean, as the story itself said, he rode the Acela, and he rode it first class. That's not really being a man of the people, but the person who wrote it
was
at the barbecue. Right?
Did he serve drinks? did he actually engineer the train? Or he was just a passenger, and that was news?
He was a passenger, and that was news. He rode the Acela in first class, and that made him a man of the people.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the real people aren't in first class.
Not on the Acela.
By the way, that's the intercity train from Washington to New York. You game for another call here? Let's go to Joe in Sacramento. Hi, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with me and Amanda Turkle.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, I just wanted to interject with that one guy that was calling about the 9/11 thing with the Building 7.
Sure.
You know, another thing, and I'm sure this might have caught your attention too, remember when that plane hit the Pentagon, that big jumbo jet?
Yeah.
And they said there wasn't a piece of the plane to be recognized after it hit?
There is a gap between the story and the physical evidence that cannot be explained.
Well, remember that one picture that they showed, that one picture that they had that had like a big flash of light or whatever.
Well, they put out a sequence of still photos from what appeared to be a video camera that were confusing. It was inconclusive, and it really offered no new information. It didn't show the nose of an airliner, I'll say that.
And not only that, but you know how big a 757 is? I mean, to get a snapshot of it. I guess my point is when people say that it got hit by a jumbo jet, but not one piece of the plane is recognizable. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing about the jet engines, they're made with titanium steel.
Right.
Those things won't melt. So, you know, you would think that they would at least find some engines, you know, at the Pentagon building. Plus, there was no wing indentations on the building.
Well, and the hole in the building wasn't big enough to swallow up the plane. So, I mean, it does not add up, clearly. I have to say that there's great sensitivity about that issue here in Washington. Whenever I bring it up, somebody will say, well, I have a friend who saw it. You want to talk to him? So
it's very hard to reconcile
the believers and the challengers. Sorry?
I was just going to say, wasn't there like a gas station that was across from the Pentagon that...
Yes. With a surveillance camera.
Surveillance tapes from it. And
right. The FBI picked them up within hours of the incident.
Not only that, did you ever hear anything about how they turned the power off? I guess what 9/11 happened on a Tuesday.
Right.
But I heard that, is this true that Marvin Bush was head of security at the World Trade Center? Isn't that like George Bush's cousin or something like that?
He had some role as a consultant. I don't know the particulars. I don't think he had a line responsibility.
I was just going to say, did you hear anything to the fact that 2 days prior, I guess on that Sunday, which would be the 9th, that they shut the whole power off for the first time ever at the World Trade Center?
I am aware of that, and it was alleged to be for computer retrofits or something like that. So, Joe, I'll tell you what, we're going to do another. We did a segment with Richard Gage recently. You can visit his website. It's the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, AE911truth.org, and you can get a lot of information there, okay?
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks for your call. Amanda, you have any comment on that exchange?
I mean, I think you and the caller both know a lot more about that than we do. It's not something we follow so much, so I will defer to you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you see as the big hot stories that are going on right now? The Cheney visit to Baghdad, and then, of course, he's going to stop off and ask for a little extra gas money from King Abdullah, some hand-holding, a little kissy face.
Well, definitely the Cheney visit, but also the McCain visit. I mean, he's there. He's doing this worldwide tour and saying it's not political, yet at the same time, he's holding fundraisers. So it's obviously political. And, you know, he's there telling Iraqis, well, if I win, I'll come back. Iraqis are saying that, you know, McCain's visit clearly shows he intends to keep U.S. troops there for a while. So that, and of course, you know, there's always the economy, which is looking worse and worse.
Now, a little clarity, the fundraiser's in London, not in Baghdad, right?
Correct. The fundraiser is in London.
I think it'd be very interesting to hold a fundraiser in Baghdad.
Be dangerous.
Or in Mecca or Riyadh. This would be very interesting. Amanda, thanks for dropping by.
Great. Thank you.
Give my best to everybody at Think Progress and the Progress Report.
Okay.
We're going to take a break and return and see what happens next here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. in the Take Back America Conference.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we have a new problem for you. It's in the Santa Cruz Mountains, Mountain Charlie Road at Riva Ridge Road. Grass fire burning on the hillside. Fire department is on the way. In Soquel, heads up, Robertson Street at Soquel Drive. We're getting reports a manhole is sticking straight up into the lanes. Drive with caution there. A crash reported Monterey County Highway 1 north of the Coast Gallery. Two cars involved and reportedly blocking lanes. Now, unclear at this point where the Coast Gallery is. If you're out and about and you can spot that for us, let us know. 415-901-7990. Highway 68 currently checks in Stalin, accident-free. The Fish Hook southbound 17 onto southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. You have the everyday heavy traffic as you approach the scene. This is brought to you by Garmin. With a Garmin newbie, you'll know where you are, and with turn-by-turn spoken directions, you'll know where you're going. As you navigate life, follow the leader, use a Garmin. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
More and more troops and veterans of Iraq believe George Bush's military policy has been a disaster. I am one of them. Rush Limbaugh called vets like me phony soldiers for telling the truth about Iraq. Rush, the shrapnel I took to my head was real. My traumatic brain injury was real. And my belief that we are on the wrong course in Iraq is real. Until you have the guts to call me a phony soldier to my face, stop telling lies about my service.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I am still your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We're in Washington, D.C., here at the Take Back America Conference, and Andrea Batista Schlesinger joins us from the Drum Major Institute. You can fade the music, Brian. Thank you. That's the Gorillaz.
That wasn't quite a fade.
I like the gorillas. Well, actually, the way it works, what we hear is a little different from what the listeners hear. They heard a very smooth fade.
Got it.
So Brian's doing a great job back there, keeping everything moving at the studio. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to talk with us. At the Drum Major Institute, they focus on middle-class working families in America. And I want to ask you, with Bush trying to talk these Wall Street execs back in from the ledge today, and first the Carlyle Capital Group sneezed last week, and then Bear Stearns just got hammered in 4 days from, they were at $30 a share, an all-time low, and then it sold late Sunday night on eBay for $2 a share. And what I want to do is, because all the blather on television is about how this is going to impact rich people, but I'm really worried about this meltdown and the so-called capital crunch. We've got the Fed pumping billions of dollars in there, but this stuff doesn't trickle down to the people who are hurting, who are being squeezed out of their homes. And let me give you one example, Andrea. The foreclosure virus has hit California big time, and the people who aren't being addressed are renters who live in homes that are being foreclosed on by owners who were speculators or investors. And nobody is addressing their needs. So what's your sense of how we need to protect middle-class people right now?
Well, I think it's a significant question because, you know, I decided to get on the ship when it was sinking. I decided to buy my first apartment in the middle of all this.
Oh, great.
And I was hearing about all these rate cuts and sure that my first home would be a steal until I realized that these rate cuts were really about bailing out the banks and had absolutely nothing to do with either ensuring that people could access home ownership or stay in it.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a big disconnect, a big public disconnect about people's lack of understanding about what all the dealings are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think people got that when the president talked about Hope Now and these other efforts to rein in the industry, that these are essentially voluntary.
Yeah.
You know, that these are an extension of his emphasis on volunteerism.
Yeah. It's a faith-based initiative.
It is a faith-based initiative.
Yeah.
And
the believers are bankers.
And the believers are bankers. They have to be believers. They have no other choice. What we're going to be left with is a situation in which any of the public infrastructure infrastructure we need to do won't be able to be done. People are going to continue to lose their homes unless we actually figure out how to rewrite our bankruptcy laws, in which we empower judges to be able to make these decisions to make, you know, new deals on the mortgages that people already have. So as of yet, I'm still waiting to hear any remedy that directly addresses middle-class families. It hasn't yet appeared. I read the Wall Street Journal as well as the New York Times, and I haven't read it in either publication.
And the idea of a freeze, you know, locking in current mortgage rates is not appalling to me, but I do worry about the ripple effect and how it can affect qualified borrowers at this time. And yet, I agree with you that there is no direct approach that tries to keep people in their homes. We did a segment last week on the so-called workouts, where you go to your lender and say, I'm underwater, glub, 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 help me. And in California, it's not happening. You call your lender, and they don't call you back. And they put you on a list, and, you know, we have anecdotes of people 6-8 weeks of good faith calling every week saying, I'm in trouble, help me, and the banks don't respond.
Well, in New York, we won better. We actually have a hotline. And who's on the other end of the hotline?
Elliot Spitzer's hooker?
Wrong hotel. It's lending institutions that are on the other line of the government-sponsored helpline.
Well, AT&T runs the Do Not Call list for telemarketing.
Right. You know, I wrote a piece advocating for a moratorium, and I co-wrote it with Joel Barkin of Progressive States.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the time, Spitzer was still governor, and we were attempting to appeal to the willingness to take on corporate power that he had demonstrated when he was attorney general. And it seemed like, you know, calling on for a moratorium would make sense both politically and from a policy perspective. Acorn is agitating for a moratorium. You know, at the very least, I think the simplicity of the proposal enables people to understand that help is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Whether ultimately, you know, we actually tackle the questions that got us into this mess. You know, there's a whole piece of this that we're not talking about, which you just alluded to, which is, what do we do with the subprime borrowers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did a panel in New York. We had the Attorney General from Minnesota come. They have the toughest anti-predatory lending laws in the country. So whenever we talk about it not happening on the federal level, we know it can happen. It is happening in states. you know, and a local councilman who's in, represents a neighborhood in New York that's been decimated. I mean, entirely decimated, not just, you know, scattering. I mean, said, you know, but if you take, if you consider this, if you throw out the baby with the bathwater here, no one that I represent will ever be able to get a mortgage.
Yeah.
So there's a whole other piece of this that it, the left, I think, especially has an obligation to examine, which we cannot conflate with this, with the foreclosure crisis.
Well, and we're going to have hundreds of thousands of unowned, foreclosed, vacant housing units. Some of them are single-family homes, apartments, condos, all of that. And we ought to come up with a positive way to work those into the marketplace for affordable housing. You know, we have a chance to kind of reset the market here. You know, it's called a correction in business terms. But, hey, correct it to the point where working families can afford to buy the home that they need near where they work. We have people in California who commute 2 hours every day in order to find a house that they can actually afford to buy based on what they earn. And so if we can, you know, readjust both sides of the equation here and truly make housing affordable, it's more extreme in California, but you have it in New York.
Sure.
And, you know, this is an, it's an opportunity, but I don't even hear progressives talking about that.
Well, but then, of course, that leads you to the underlying question here, which is why do we continue to push home ownership as a part of a sign of achieving a middle-class standard of living? I mean, I know I feel it. You know, I was raised that there were only a few things that you did. You know, when your parents grow up poor, you save, you brush your, take care of your teeth because they never had the opportunity to do so, and you make sure at the earliest possible opportunity to buy something.
Yeah.
That's, those are the values I was raised with. You know, and I'm, I mean, I'm lefter than left. I mean, I'm, you know, I make U-turns around myself. You know, I just go round and round. And, you know, and I've never been prouder than when my parents could see that I entered this world. You know, but to what extent are we all complicit? You know, we talk, for example, a lot about the middle-class squeeze and, you know, what defines a middle-class standard of living. And some of those things are intangible. I mean, they're, it's secure. Security, which no one, I mean, what does that even mean anymore? Security as opposed to anxiety. You know, most of us don't have access to that emotion. But, you know, it's, what are the things that characterize it? And there are so few that you can really point to. Okay, access to college education. You know, okay, access to health care. You know, the picket fence and all these other things. You want to say that that's part of it because you can touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But to what extent did we create this?
Yeah.
By making that, you know, a part of what it means to make it.
The other piece is the deregulation, particularly of banks and financial institutions that led to this Wild West shootout. And we need to look hard at re-regulating our banks and making sure also that if I take out a mortgage for the lifetime of that loan, I'm actually dealing with the person who loaned me the money, not some syndicate in China or someplace. Andrea, it's always great to see you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And visit the website drummajorinstitute.org. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening to our live broadcast from Washington. We're going to do this again tomorrow. I'll also be in for Tom Hartman, noon to 3 Eastern. That's 9 to noon Pacific time. And if it's not on your favorite radio station, go to airamerica.com. Talk to you tomorrow. We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, on the, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, a something that people make in the south of France pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Some say the government should keep hands off Wall Street, but Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson defends brokering the deal that allowed J.P. Morgan Chase to buy Bear Stearns for a song.
This was an easy decision. This is the right outcome.
And if you think it's a bailout, he says, ask Bear Stearns shareholders. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports they've been battered big time.
Shareholders of Bear Stearns have filed a class action suit against the management, which only last week was insisting the company was sound. Nearly a third of Bear Stearns is owned by its employees. Not only has their savings been wiped out, but more than half of those 14,000 workers reportedly could be fired.
President Bush says the Treasury Department and the Fed are on top of the situation. After cutting its discount rate for banks yesterday, the Fed is widely expected to slash the federal funds rate tomorrow. That will lower the cost of business and consumer credit. But investment advisor Ray Martin is not reassured.
I think people should worry a little bit here. I'm worried after 22 years in the financial business. I don't think I've seen conditions this difficult. I mean, we've got a growing number of people defaulting on their mortgage payments. Their house value is falling here. So, you know, many people, they can't sell their house to get out of the trouble that they're in. It's a perfect and an ugly storm. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
There's safety in gold, and the price of that precious metal rose to $1,002 an ounce today. But crude oil fell nearly $5. Traders believe an economic downturn will reduce demand for oil. Florida's Democratic Party has dropped its plan for a do-over primary. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
The Florida Democratic Party says reaction to the proposal to revote was overwhelmingly negative, so there won't be one. The idea included a combination of in-person and mail-in balloting to be tabulated and certified by a private company. In a written statement, State Party Chair Karen Thurman says they researched every possible solution, but none turned out to be viable. Now the State Party turns to the Democratic National Committee's Rules and Bylaws Committee, which meets next month. Peter King, CBS News, Cape Canaveral.
As things stand, Florida's convention delegates will not be seated because that state moved up its primary in defiance of the National Democratic Party. Michigan is in a similar situation, but Democrats there are going ahead with plans for a second chance vote on June 3rd. The merger of Delta and Northwest Airlines is in doubt. The Delta Pilots Union says it's been unable to reach an agreement with Northwest pilots on seniority issues. The death toll in the New York City construction